The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday. It's April 18th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a New Jersey man was arrested after attempting to enter St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan with two gasoline cans Wednesday night, police say. Church ushers stopped 37-year-old Mark Lamparello at about 8 o'clock and notified nearby officers with the NYPD Critical Response Command, who took him into custody. No one was injured. The man's intentions were not immediately clear, but he is being described as emotionally disturbed. Authorities say he drove to St. Patrick's, parked in front of Saks, and took two gas cans and lighter fluid from the car into the cathedral where he was stopped. Counterterrorism officers were called and caught up with him. He was not charged with a crime at this point, but is expected to be held for psychiatric evaluation. Jeez.
Padre, can you help me grab that other can?
Yeah, he brought in a lot. He brought in 4 gallons and, just nonchalantly strolling in.
Bitch getting him up those stairs.
Yeah, but, right?
Got to do what you got to do.
Wow.
NYPD Deputy Commissioner John Miller said his basic story was that he was cutting through the cathedral to get to Madison Avenue and that his car had run out of gas.
Seems viable.
They said when they took a look at the vehicle, it was not out of gas. And at this point, he was taken into custody and brought to the Midtown North Station house. Miller said that Lamparello is known to police and the NYPD is looking into his background. The incident came 2 days after the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. There was a heavy police presence early Thursday morning outside the cathedral on Fifth Avenue. St. Patrick's Cathedral was built in 1878, and they have installed a sprinkler-like system during recent renovations, and its wooden roof is coated with fire retardant. Police say that two people were shot in a home invasion in Parkside early Thursday morning. It happened at 1 a.m. in the 1400 block of North 56th Street. Both victims, a 64-year-old resident and her 54-year-old boyfriend, are expected to survive. Now, Philadelphia Police Chief Inspector Scott Small says the victims were asleep in a second-floor bedroom when they were woken up by gunfire. He said they basically woke up to them.
To the sounds of gunshots.
To them being shot.
Oh, my God.
Small says it looks as if they broke into the house to shoot one or both of the victims. Police believe the shooter or shooters got in by breaking into the basement window at street level. The 64-year-old woman was in and out of consciousness as she was being rushed to Lankenau Medical Center. Officials say that she was shot multiple times in her leg and once in her hand. The 54-year-old man was hit in the torso. He was able to speak to police on his way to Penn Presbyterian Hospital. He told officers nothing appeared to be stolen and the house was not ransacked, but he could not provide a description of the shooter or shooters.
You just walk over to someone while they're asleep and just open up on them.
Wow. Investigators are looking for footage from nearby surveillance cameras. Anyone with information is asked to contact them. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers confiscated a shipment of more than 11,000 counterfeit jewel pods, 3 chargers, and other related paraphernalia. The shipment, which arrived from China, was simply labeled plastic pipe sample, but it contained 36 cartons of jewel pods being sent to an address in Newark, Delaware. Customs agents seized millions of dollars worth of fake merchandise every year, but products like these are of particular concern because they are being ingested. People who use these products are inhaling a substance that was manufactured with substandard materials from inside a facility that is not properly regulated. In other words, consumers have no way of knowing what they are ingesting. The best way to know if your product is safe is to always purchase consumable products from reputable retailers. In sports this morning, Jake Arrieta pitched into the 9th inning. Scott Kingery and Cesar Hernandez hit solo home runs, and the Phillies beat the New York Mets 3-2 yesterday at the ballpark. With 2 outs, the bases loaded and a full count for the Mets in the top of the 9th, Hector Neris threw a 95-mile-per-hour fastball pitch to Keon Broxton for the final out and earned his 2nd save this year. Arrieta, who improved to 3-1, allowed 2 runs and 6 hits, including 3 double-play grounders. The Phillies are off to an 11-6 start and are in first place in the National League East. Up next is a 4-game series in Colorado against the Rockies. Zach Eflin will get the start for the Phillies tonight, while Kyle Freeland pitches for Colorado, and game time in Denver is at 8:40. This Sixers will look to take the lead in their series against the Nets tonight as the two teams face off for Game 3 in Brooklyn. Tip-off is at 8 o'clock. In last night's game, the Celtics beat the Indiana Pacers in Boston to go up in that series 2-0. And the number one seed in the East, the Milwaukee Bucks, also went up 2-1 with an easy win over the Detroit Pistons. In the Western Conference, the Houston Rockets beat the Utah Jazz and also lead that series 2-0. In the NHL, the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs are tied at 2 games apiece after the Bruins won 6-4 last night in Toronto. In the Western Conference, the Dallas Stars scored 4 goals in the first period on the way to an easy 5-1 win over the Nashville Predators, and that series is tied at 2. And the number one seed in the West, the Calgary Flames, are now down 3-1 after the Colorado Avalanche won in overtime 3-2. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome, folks. Here we are once again together Thursday morning, the President and Steve Show. Word of the week, prize this week. Just to remind you, Jim Brewer's coming to town this Saturday. He'll be in Atlantic City. Is he in this week?
He's in tomorrow.
That's going to be cool. Jim Brewer will be stopping by. So we'll give that away tomorrow as well with his appearance. We have a few other things going on today. Money, once again, GoFund Yourself Part 2 is taking place. 8 a.m. is when we will have your first chance at winning $1,000, maybe even 10 G's with our super-duper Wamba grand prize that we have.
I like Wamba.
Thank you.
Wamba says it all.
So listen up for the details on that. And a guest in the studio today, we have Byron Bowers. We haven't met him yet. He's going to be at Punchline tonight and through the weekend. So always nice to meet new people. So he'll be in this morning as well. We have that going on and a lot of things to give away. And I think we have an official, we have an announcement coming up about an event down the road. And we'll get the details probably around Bizarre File time this morning. So we got plenty on our plate today.
Yes, we do.
A full day of a full you experience.
I'll be here for the entire show today.
Yay. We should recap what went down yesterday.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Hey, I have some beer. Let's start off the morning with a drink. I got a case of Yards Pink to give away to caller number 15. You have to be at least 21, obviously. Now available year-round, Pink is sparkling, refreshing, dry, tart berry ale brewed with cherries and raspberries. 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, you can find Yards Pink at the Village Pub in Swedesboro. We'll take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. The Entertainment Report, giveaways, all that stuff is coming up in a moment.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, stupid question this morning. We're going to give away 4-pack of tickets for Six Flags Great Adventure. And the question I have for you is this. In 2017, which word topped the list of words that most Americans found most annoying for the 9th year in a row?
2017, 9th year in a row, word that Americans find most annoying.
Correct. And 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. If you can't figure it out, I'll eventually give you the source. And then basically the first person who goes looks it up and calls it and wins.
Hey, listen. But it's, however you win, you win.
This is a word that is still pretty annoying.
I think we've talked about it. Yes.
For sure. 215-263-WMMR. 9 years in a row, the same word was the most annoying for Americans. What was that? I have a bunch of birthdays. Today, Thursday, April 18th, they include Conan O'Brien.
Oh.
Conan is celebrating his 56th birthday today.
Conan does a truncated version of his former show. It's now only a half hour, but he does a lot more out-of-studio traveling bits.
Oh, yeah?
Which is where he really excels. Okay. He does a great job when he gets out on the road. In fact, he seems to love that more. I read an interview with him right after they cut the show, the time down, and he was actually very happy about it.
Steve, did you see the one where he went to Israel?
No, I heard it's great.
It's really great, and he floats in the Dead Sea.
Right,
it's really well done, and he went to Cuba, and he's found
Japan.
Did he do Japan as well? That's awesome.
So 56 today. We have a birthday in the Kardashian family. It's a big one. It's the 40th birthday, and Kourtney celebrates.
Kourtney
is the big 4-0 today.
She's the oldest?
I think she's the oldest.
Yeah.
Kourtney is also the least focused on.
Yeah.
She kind of, but she's actually really attractive.
You think it's by choice, maybe?
That I think it's kinda, by choice because yeah. she came into the whole thing already having kids, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep. So she kind of wanted to stay a little bit out of the spotlight.
It's funny to say this because they all have idiot boyfriends or
oh yeah, husbands. Hers, you know hers.
But Scott Disick, I don't like to not.
Are they still together?
No, they're still in each other's lives because he's the father of the kids.
But I really, and I don't like to say I hate people or things or whatever. But
do you hate Scott Disick?
I feel like I hate you. Feel that like, okay? Guy.
We call my friend's husband Scott Disick.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Like do whenever you like him or no?
No, we do. But like whenever if he like goes out or you know is like out too late or something like that.
It's
or,
douchey, right? He's douchey,
his wife does. Like she'll say, "Oh, you were Scott Disick last night."
He's got such a douchey, punchable face. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he does. He does. I think maybe if you sat him down and had a few drinks in him, he'd agree that he should be punched as well.
Yeah, maybe. So big 4-0 for her today. I'm sure they'll do some kind of celebration. Local gal, Maria Bello.
Oh, we love her.
Has her birthday. We do love her. She's a great actress, man.
Villanova girl, right?
That's correct. Yeah, she's 51 years old today. I wonder what she's got coming up. She's always...
She's in Kathy's favorite movie.
Almost always. Yeah, History of Violence.
Oh. I was like, which one?
Coyote Great. Ugly? History of Violence is so freaking good.
I agree. I had to warm up to that movie, and eventually I was like, this is a really, really good movie. She's on NCIS, Nick?
I guess so, yeah.
She plays Jack Sloan.
Okay.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
It'll say how many episodes.
She plays Herbert Romwell.
45 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. But she's been on it since 2017.
Well, there you go.
I was not aware.
Really pays to watch the shows.
I guess so. Happy 51 to Maria Bello. Also, Melissa Joan Hart. We were just talking about her the other day.
Yep.
With Sean Astin on, and they are now co-starring in a show on Netflix.
The Bad Nick, right?
That's correct. The Good Nick
or the Bad Nick?
I think it's the Bad Nick.
The Nick McAvoy.
Yeah, remember, because it has like a dark turn to it. So
no Good Nick.
No Good Nick. That's what it was.
There we go.
I knew
Boom.
There was a word.
There was a
good
negative
Nick.
In the thing. Yes. We worked it out.
Yay.
We worked through it.
High five.
Yeah.
Did you just do Borat?
Yeah.
High five. Melissa Joan Hart.
And I like to watch the girls make water.
Is 43 today. Eli Roth. He's been in our studio. Great actor and director, and he loves the horror and slasher film, the gory genre.
He did a great series. Was it on Sci-Fi or A&E? But he each episode took a part of horror and focused in on it, from demons to vampires to ghosts and stuff. It was really well done.
I like that.
And Stephen King was actually in a good bit of it as well, Preston.
Okay. In Inglourious Basterds, remember, he was the bear.
Yeah.
The way Brad Pitt says that, you may know him as the Bear Jew.
And he comes out of that tunnel with a bat.
Teddy effing ball game.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Antonio Margheriti.
Margheriti. Preston, around the holidays, I know we're in advance of it, so I'm going to tell you for Eli Roth, if you want a great holiday family movie, Green Inferno.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Yeah, I've heard.
I've heard. Test yourselves for Green Inferno. It's to me, it was so over the top. I was howling.
You know what? And he used as actors the indigenous people of wherever they were shooting. And apparently, the word was those people had a blast.
They loved it. They were using prosthetic, arms and stuff that they were supposed to be eating and stuff. It's it's really got a wry sense of humor to it, but it is beyond gruesome.
He's 43 today. Eric McCormack, Will of Will and Grace.
Yeah,
is 56.
Like
yeah,
I just downloaded. I still have to watch it. It's a horror movie that he's in that looks really. You forget he's actually a really good serious actor because you just think of him from Will and Grace.
He's who I wanted to play Nick in.
That's actually
movie.
A good choice.
Okay,
I like that.
So happy 56 to him. Jane Leaves. Remember her as Frasier from Frasier's Daphne.
So you know there was a picture yesterday that was making the rounds online. Kelsey Grammer walking along with a script, and on the side of the script it said Frasier. So
no kidding,
they're rebooting the series.
Rebooting that, okay. Yeah.
That was a great show.
It was
I
a great
really
show.
Enjoyed it. Yeah,
the dynamic between him and Niles, his brother,
it was fun.
Great.
He's 58. She's 58. Eric Roberts. Brother of Julia Roberts, and movies like The Dark Knight, which kind of bounced back in, The Pope of Greenwich Village, and Star 80, and a whole bunch of stuff.
Does a hell of a fake trombone, too, doesn't he?
We had him on, and he just, good morning, Eric Roberts. You just, okay, if that's what you're in the mood to do, go ahead.
I confuse him and Willem Dafoe quite a bit.
I could see that a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, just like for a moment. I mean, until they don't look exactly alike, but.
He opens his mouth, and you're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah. Eric Roberts is 63, and the last birthday I have is Rick Moranis.
Love him.
Yep, Ghostbusters, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, SCTV, and more.
He played, he did the voice for a big helmet dream sequence on the Goldbergs.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Dark Helmet?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dark Helmet, yeah.
He's 66 today, Rick Moranis. So happy birthday to everybody celebrating birthdays. Let's see if we can get an answer to this in 2017, which word topped the list of words that most Americans found most annoying for the ninth year in a row. 215-263-WMMR is the number, and we will go to Jeannie and see if we can get the answer. Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning.
Jeannie, do you know that annoying word?
Whatever.
Oh. I would not have guessed that.
Well done, Jeannie.
I was thinking moist.
Hang on a second, Jeannie. We got your info, and we're going to give you a four-pack of tickets to Six Flags Great Adventure. It's spring break at Six Flags Great Adventure, open daily April 19th to the 28th. For fun all year, go big with a Six Flags season pass. And you can buy now at sixflags.com and save up to 65%. Go big, go Six Flags. Let's get into some of the entertainment stories. It's another day and another plot twist in the Operation Varsity Blues saga.
Yeah.
Just days after her parents, Lori Loughlin and Mosima Gianulli pleaded not guilty to conspiracy charged linked to their alleged $500,000 bribe to get their daughter in the University of Southern California, blah, blah, blah. Olivia Jade and Bella Gianulli have reportedly received a, quote, what's called a target letter, letting them know that they are under investigation by the Department of Justice. So the kids are now under investigation.
Oh, man.
I know.
Can you imagine? No. This was the big drive of the parents because I don't think either of them had gone to college. They wanted the kids to have college degrees.
Yeah.
They were already, both the daughters, actually making livings as social influencers. Now, I understand it's certainly a valid thing to want to have an education to fall back on.
Yeah, but were they legitimately even getting an education?
No. And then so not only does all this destroy all the work they had done or the stuff that was pertaining to at least their income, now they're potentially looking at going to jail themselves.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess they're going to try and figure out if the kids were complicit in their idea or something like that.
If you're told you're going to school on a rowing scholarship and you never sat in a boat, that's, you know, they're going to try to figure out, again, as you said, just how much they knew and how complicit they were.
Yeah. Do you know, we know somebody who got a partial scholarship for getting on the rowing team and had never spent a day in a boat. Our friend Kristen down the hall.
Yeah, but she did Temple, but actually she did. Row.
No, she did. Yes.
Yeah.
They didn't pretend like she had rowed ahead of time. They just needed members on the crew team, and she's like, I'll do it.
I'll do it, and
we'll pay you. We'll help you out.
Turns out she was good.
You can find that stuff if you dig deep enough as opposed to pretending like you had done it. But observers speculate that the target is Bella, who deleted her Instagram account this week, by the way. Yeah, both girls are still enrolled at USC while the school reviews their case. Several other parents, including Felicity Huffman, have pleaded guilty in a bid to have their prison time sentence cut down.
What a mess.
Yeah.
What a freaking mess.
According to the Los Angeles Times, their legal team is planning a, quote, parenting on steroids defense, which I think is the, you remember, hey, any parent would do this if they had the means.
That's what they're going
to
try to do.
We're just trying to help out our kids.
Any parent would spend $500,000.
Yeah, exactly. 56-year-old Demi Moore. Haven't heard about her in a while. She's had a full life, and for the first time, fans are going to get an in-depth look at her ups and downs through love, addiction, and motherhood.
This is a dream come true for me.
Her long-anticipated memoir called Inside Out is going to drop on September 24th and will reportedly reveal new details about her battle with addiction, body image, a painful childhood, her struggle to balance motherhood and her career, and her three marriages, including one to Bruce Willis and Ashton Kutcher.
For a while, wasn't she sort of quasi-addicted to Whippets?
I remember there being a
Whippet
story.
Right?
And about
I think she just did whippets with like with her daughter or something like that. I don't know if there was an addiction problem.
Yeah, but something.
If she's an addict, yeah, then you can link the two.
My mother never did whippets with me.
Never? My mom never no, did
never.
Whippets.
Never.
How come we never
I would have liked
whippets?
A relaxed sphincter.
Is that what that does?
That's what whippets do. Yeah, apparently.
What the hell?
Have you guys spent any time in the underground of the gay community?
Jennifer Barth, executive editor of Harper.
Not that I'd like to admit.
I mean, that's what I heard.
Not for on air.
Said in a statement about the book, Inside Out is first and foremost a woman's story. That the woman in question happens to be one of the most celebrated actresses of our time only makes her journey of vulnerability, strength, and self-acceptance all that more resonant.
Wow, that sounds like a bunch of nonsense.
She said, I think readers are going to be surprised and moved by this book.
Do you think she reveals what the hell was going on in that one video that we've seen of her, like, kissing that young guy? Do you remember that?
I do remember that. It was so bizarre.
For a two-day
period, it was everyone's asking, what is that about?
Because it was like mid to late 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. It was, you're talking about the video of her almost, like, kissing that kid and everything?
Like sexually kissing a
like a little.
Yeah.
Not a little kid.
He's like a teenager. Yeah. He's like 13 years old or something. She must have been drunk and just all flirty and stuff like that, so... what else do we have here? Oh, she, Moore, by the way, has given the public glimpse into her struggles before. In October of 2018, when she was named Woman of the Year at the Peggy Albrecht Friendly House's 29th Annual Awards Luncheon.
God, that's the only one I missed.
I know. I'm sorry to even bring it up.
Your cucumber sandwiches are to die for.
She said, I feel like there are defining moments in our lives that shape who we are and the direction we go. And earlier in my career, I was spiraling down a path of real self-destruction. No matter what success I had, I just never felt good enough.
See, I think also in another way here, if you stop and think about it, she missed an opportunity with naming her book. What's the title of the book?
Yeah, it's called Inside Out.
It should be like Moreover. More to the story.
More or less.
More or less.
Yeah. I like that. I thought she kind of bailed on the title, too.
Morrisville, New Jersey.
She had noted that she was grateful for the support of her three daughters with Willis, who are Rumor, Scout, and Tallulah. She said, I had absolutely no value for myself, and this self-destructive path, it very quickly brought me to a real crisis point, and it wasn't clear at the time the reason. It was divine intervention, but two people who I barely knew stepped up and took a stand for me, and they presented me with the opportunity.
It was good seeing her at the Bruce Willis roast.
In fact, it was more like an ultimatum. Unless I was dead, that I better show up, she said. They gave me a chance to redirect the course of my life before I destroyed everything. Clearly, they saw more of me than I saw of myself.
More of me.
There you go.
There's another title!
And I'm so grateful because without the opportunity... Without their belief in me, I wouldn't be standing here today. So,
oh my gosh,
that's coming out in September. What?
More of me, and then the me could be like the me of Demi.
Oh my god!
That's so stupid. It is really dumb.
Why not?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Put an insight.
Do we have to fix everything? Come on.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking of me things. Yeah. You and Demi.
Yeah.
Demi and you.
Yeah. Demi and you.
More of Demi.
More of Demi.
I like it.
DeBella DeBall.
There you go.
DeBella DeMore.
DeBella DeMore.
DeBella Demi.
DeMellaware.
Rocktober.
Okay, there we go.
Rockember.
Let's move on. Yeah. Rocket Man.
Yeah. Yay.
Is an eagerly awaited Elton John biopic.
He's so good at that. He's so good at that. Hey, remember when I tried the segue yesterday when Preston wasn't there?
It was not as good.
No.
It was not as good.
You tried to segue. No.
And he said, and he instantly afterwards said, I don't do this as well as Preston.
It was a valiant effort.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it was a joke. But by the way, speaking in pencils.
But he did a phenomenal job, Casey, otherwise.
Thank you. I did listen on the way into the hospital. All right, moving on. So the biopic is set to premiere May 16th at the Cannes Film Festival. Rocket Man, which was written by Lee Hall and directed by Dexter Fletcher, opens on the U.S. In the U.S. on May 31st. It stars Taron Egerton as Elton. He looks like he's going to do a great job. And he provided his own vocals over the tracks from the original masters.
I love that.
Yeah.
He's that talented doing this. we talked about this, Preston. How essential was Elton John to rock in the 70s? Now, a lot of people now probably think of him as easy listening, but maybe people are a little bit younger. But Elton John was it. You know, Guns N' Roses loved Elton John.
Yeah.
So many rock stars. Yeah. I mean, they were inspired by Elton John's stuff.
Yeah, I remember when, you know, those songs came out in the mid-70s and Philadelphia Freedom and what a huge hit that was. And he just dominated. And he was outrageous on stage, too. So he was a huge influence on so many people. Bryce Dallas Howard, by the way, is going to be playing Elton's late mother, Sheila Fairbrother. She appeared on Good Morning America to shed some light on what fans can expect from her part in Rocket Man. She said Elton was in the process of writing his autobiography, and Taryn had read it and could really kind of speak to specifics. But more than anything, this movie is almost like Moulin Rouge, she said, how it's totally fantastical and amazing. It's more of an emotional journey rather than something like a more kind of classic, and then this plot and then that plot point.
You can tell, because if you look at the trailer, there's sort of quasi dance numbers.
Yeah, they're gonna have fun with it.
Yeah, I would have called it though more Elton John.
It was more about the relationship between the two of them at that moment, what was happening, rather than sort of she walked like this, she wore clothes like that. So they're going to have some fun with the story. It's not going to be a straight-ahead biopic. So.
Would you say, Casey, at this point, you're a Taron Egerton fan?
I love that guy.
Did you see the movie Legend with Tom Hardy playing the Cray brothers?
Playing the two different... Yeah, yeah. And then...
He's in it, and he's really good.
The girl in that movie, just absolutely
love her to death. Yeah, love. Sucker Punch. Charlotte, what the hell is her name?
I don't remember.
She was the girl in Sucker Punch.
She was the main one, the blonde?
Yeah, but she is also the, she's sort of the narrator of the movie. If you haven't seen Legend.
Emily Browning, Steve?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Charlotte, I got it right. Emily Browning's her name.
You were thinking of Charlotte Bronte.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Of course, an easy mistake. If you've not, I'm trying to tell people, if you've not seen this movie, Legend.
What's it about?
So it's about the Cray brothers. They were twin brothers in the 60s. So think of a British wise guy.
I remember
guys.
That. Why, Hardy plays both of the characters.
Yes, he does. That's right. And Preston, you so often throughout the movie forget it's the same actor playing both roles.
Okay. I'll have to check that one out. Hey, Kit Harington's character Jon Snow has suffered some gore injuries in Game of Thrones, but the actor revealed he nearly maimed himself for real during the filming of the show's last season. He said that he almost tore off a testicle.
Oh!
Yeah, while riding this mechanical contraption. It's called a robotic buck. It's kind of like a mechanical bull. They use that to simulate the dragons when they're doing the green screen stuff.
Right, right.
He said, I think what sums up the buck work up for me is there was a bit where John almost falls off the dragon, swings around really violent like this. He said, and my right ball got trapped. Oh. And I didn't have time to say stop. And this is in the behind the scenes for a video for HBO's Game Revealed. He said, and I was being swung around in my head. I thought, this is how it ends.
Jon Snow, how did you enjoy your first dragon run? My balls are!
I said, here's how it ends. On this buck swinging me around by my testicles, literally. He said, buck work is not easy. So that was a bit of an issue.
Do they all end up, or do a lot of them end up riding dragons?
No.
Just
no,
a couple?
No.
Is there a sidecar in any of them?
No, in fact, he's the only other one that has had the pleasure, other than Khaleesi.
One of the funniest memes I saw, and I'll probably butcher it, but leading up to the season premiere was... said, I can't wait to see how Daenerys Targaryen gives up a three-dragon lead, which I thought, because she has three dragons, but, you know, at the end of last season, she
something
loses.
Happened.
All right.
What?
I don't know.
Demi Moore.
More
dragons.
All right. And speaking of Game of Thrones, in a new round of pictures released by HBO, the whole gang, including Jon Snow, Arya Stark, Jorah Mormont, and Daenerys Targaryen appear to be plotting some sort of attack. Meanwhile, actor Liam Cunningham, he plays Ser Davos. I love that character. Fessed up to stealing clothes from the Game of Thrones set. He said, I went off with a U-Haul truck full of stuff. He said, Dothraki swords, lumps of obsidian, Bank of Braavos money. And apparently Maisie Williams, Sophie Turner, and others have also stolen a bunch of props from the
set. Why would you not?
Yeah. Exactly.
And a fax machine.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there are longtime actors who have been on the show who have never worked with other actors on the show because there's so many different set areas. You know that,
Macy
Williams has been away from from her brothers for a long period of time. So,
but she also has gone all over Westeros.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So,
what if the final episode? And I pose this to you because it's a possibility. What if the final episode is the entire cast sitting in a diner while Journey's playing in the background?
I would, a la Soprano.
It could be good.
Be upset.
Be a twist no one would expect. And if that's what they want to do, then they ought to go for it. We have a clip of this, I believe, if Marissa sent it over to Alex Trebek, Casey.
Yep, we got it.
He was, of course, diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Gave a health update on the last day of taping the current season of the show. So let's play a clip from that. Here we go.
Some of you may recall that at the beginning of this season, I promised you that we had some surprises in store for you. Well, of course, I had no idea at that time that there were some surprises in store for me as well. I've always tried to be straight with you, and I'm not going to stop now. So despite what you may have heard, I'm feeling good. I'm continuing with my therapy. So I look forward to seeing you once again in September.
Man, I just had a friend who lost their father, who was diagnosed 2 weeks before he passed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And it's one of those things that the symptoms don't surface until
it's too
late.
And that's the biggest issue.
I just, as optimistic as I want to be for Alex, I'm also in the back of my mind going, man, we're going to lose this great guy.
A couple things. The class, the dignity. Just astounding. My respect was high for him to begin with. It's now stratospheric.
Yeah.
And then you sort of in the back of your mind say, does an Alex Trebek have access to resources? But it's really not. It is what it is.
Well, it's how Steve Jobs died, right?
Well, Steve Jobs had liver cancer. Yeah.
I thought it was pancreatic.
But, you hope against hope. I watch the show every night. And I know these were taped a while ago, but he looks good.
Yeah.
He said he feels okay. He feels good.
But I wonder when I heard that, I wondered what therapy meant.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he's doing something. Treatment. He could be doing something experimental that we are unaware of.
Yeah, maybe.
Nick, do you remember the professor that had the last lecture?
Mm-hmm.
Did he have pancreatic cancer?
He did.
Because he was in great shape.
Yeah.
He was in great physical shape. And he's like, look, I can, he would do the push-ups and stuff. Look at me. I'm in great shape. He's like, but I'm dying.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen.
Yep.
So anyhow, I hope and pray that things are going to go well for him.
I would like to talk about Jeopardy later, too, because it's been really fun watching lately.
Yeah, this guy, James Holzhauer.
Yeah. Preston, it's been a if you were to, in a lab, build the ultimate Jeopardy. He has two things, the smarts of Ken Jennings, but with an incredible gambling acumen that's just unbelievable.
Wow.
So his logic, and you know it, Nick, he'll start up in the higher priced questions.
He's going for the
daily doubles.
Yep. He's getting all the daily doubles.
And he goes all in.
It's like watching
90% of the time.
He's so good.
So in the first round, he goes all in, and in the second round, he'll bet 20. He'll be so far ahead. I mean, the other contestants will be at like $3,200 and $6,300. He'll be at $48,000.
Right. He's so, you're adorable.
So,
Casey, it's like watching LeBron James play basketball against a bunch of third graders. Like, he dominates over these other players.
Nick, does your heart not go out for the contestants who have worked all this time to get on Jeopardy?
Yeah.
And he farts them away?
Yeah. I tried out the other night. There was the online test, and I've taken it once before. It is so staggeringly difficult. It is much more difficult than the show itself. You watch the show and you're like, oh, I know what the capital of Turkey is. But when you take the online exam, it's really, really hard.
Here's the difference, too, with James here on the show, is that he, Ken Jennings, is it this? He comes right back with the answer.
Who, James knows?
James just
has he gotten any answers wrong?
He has.
Oh, yeah.
And he's gone all in. But his strategy, they're not going to burn off daily doubles on $100 questions.
Right.
So he knows that. So he goes deep and then jumps out ahead so quickly
Poor other people.
I mean, yeah. There was a woman the other day who's, you know, I was telling my Uber driver that she was the first one to know that I got onto the show, and my mother was very excited, you know, and she could. They're just watching the other contestants. So. They have nothing. You know, they're just sitting there going, "Oh, okay."
And I didn't watch last night because I went out, but he apparently had $131,000 in the win last night.
The biggest one show take of money.
And now he's done that three. He's beating his own record
four
at this
times.
Point. Yeah,
and he's on again tonight.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And he can stay on as long as he wins. That's all there is to it.
So my wife and I were trying to guess when he would break a million. I'm figuring by early next week.
Okay.
The way he's been playing.
All right. We will we'll monitor. Let me see here. Nearly 16 years after Rob Kardashian's death, Robert Kardashian.
No, there's no way you could die just making socks.
Kim, Khloe, Kendall, Kylie, and Chris celebrated the opening of UCLA's Robert G. Kardashian Center for Esophageal Health in Los Angeles.
Esophageal? What did he have? Do you have a throat cancer?
You know what? I'm not sure, Steve. So this is what Kim wrote on Twitter. She wrote, "So proud to announce the Robert G. Kardashian Center for Esophageal Health being launched at UCLA. My wish is that other families can have more information and we can focus on health and prevention." She had further explained in
a video. To prevent esophaguses?
My whole dad's side of the family came to support. He died in 2003 at the age of 59 of cancer. So I assume that's
esophageal cancer, more than likely. Yeah.
Let's see. And speaking of those guys, Kendall, maybe a supermodel, but she feels bad about her body when she compares.
Shut up! Come on. Honestly. Feels bad about her body.
Let him finish the sentence because maybe it's going to be something.
Let's hear this. Let's hear how the world's highest paid model feels bad about
when
her
she
body.
Compares it to her famously curvy sisters. She says that at 5'10", she's noticeably taller and lankier than Khloe, Kim, Courtney, and Kylie. So my sisters are a lot curvier than me. They have boobs. I don't have boobs. Growing up being this little twiggy girl, I saw my sisters and always thought, oh, no. Am I supposed to be more sexy like them?
Yeah.
She's okay with it for the most part now, though. She said, I'm not necessarily a lot like them. I like that I have a different vibe to everyone, and I like to do different things, and that's okay.
Can I tell her something? Mm-hmm. Your own sisters are not even a lot like them.
Okay.
Yeah, she looks like she's had the most, the least amount of surgery.
Yes.
She certainly hasn't had her breasts done. I don't know if she's done the lip injections or anything like that, but Kylie has done a lot.
Look at Khloe.
Who is seducing you?
We're looking at a picture of her with us.
Sorry, can I dab my lipstick on that napkin?
She has a come hither look about her.
Yeah. Casey, has Kendall been to any of the Sixers games from the playoffs yet?
I haven't seen her.
I haven't either.
I have not seen her.
Mm. Yeah, looking at some pictures of her, she definitely does not have much in the chest area, but most,
you don't
most
need that.
Fashion models.
They do not.
Do not, yes. Well,
that's why Norma Stitz is never seen on the runway.
Stitz. All right, two other stories. Ed Norton says that his film crew wasn't at fault in a fire that broke out and killed a New York fire officer last year. The blast has obtained court documents stating that his production company, Class 5, is suing Vincent Salazzo, the building's site's owner.
Salazzo.
Wait, I was thinking of Godfather.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, Salazzo was one of the characters. Motherless Brooklyn was shooting last March when a fire unexpectedly broke out. They blame him for failing to maintain the building's boiler, sparkler system. I'm going to guess that's sprinkler system. Yeah. Look at how pretty. Sparkler.
There's a fire. Let's throw some sparks at it.
Wouldn't that be,
Roman candles
counterproductive. Wait till we turn on the bottle rockets.
I know it's not suppressing the fire, but it's gorgeous.
The building's boiler, sprinkler system, and smoke detector.
Guys, should we get water?
Motherless Brooklyn stars Bruce Willis, Willem Dafoe, Bobby Cannavale, and Alec Baldwin. Norton and Class 5 have been combating lawsuits themselves over the fire, but they maintain their innocence. Mm. And then one last story. This is out of the world of comic books. Dynamite Entertainment is introducing a crossover between the characters in Charlie's Angels and the Bionic Woman.
Oh. Huh. Yeah, so according to the writer, Cameron DiOrdio, who is behind Archie's Josie and the Pussycats comics.
Can I guess what it is?
Yeah, sure.
Bionic Bosley?
No.
Oh,
says Charlie's Angels Bionic Woman is a story about good people trying to do good things who end up at cross purposes. And he said, we've made a spy comic with sneaking around, exotic 80s tech, and tense undercover infiltration. But it's also about questioning the track you find yourself on and defining for yourself what's right, even if it means turning your whole life upside down. He said, I'm really excited to have Sue Lee on board for this book. The way she draws both the Bionic Woman and the Angels perfectly captures their personalities, while also stylistically representing their different perspectives. The series launches in July, and it will be ahead of the movie return of Charlie's Angels, which November 19th is when that comes out, and that's Kristen Stewart, Naomi Scott, and Ella Balinska.
I wonder if that movie. So there was talk for a while. You remembered it was going to be Mark Wahlberg. It was like the $20 billion man.
The $6 billion
man. Yeah.
And any word on
never
that?
Never really
right?
saw any progress on that. Interesting. I don't know. All right. The clips are where we're headed to next, gang. Gotham continues to follow James Gordon's rise to prominence in Gotham City before Batman's arrival.
So freaking good.
And here, Ben McKenzie talks about how playing the Commissioner has changed his life.
I've learned how to try to grapple with the real world and maintain a sense of decency whenever possible. I don't do it as well as Gordon, but I also don't have to kill people.
Yeah!
Gotham airs tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox. Let's do the next clip. Life in Pieces is a comedy with stories told through different members of a family as they reach milestones and achievements. In this clip, Zoe Lister-Jones talks about bonding with the cast.
I think we really, really genuinely love each other. It's a show about a family, and we've sort of become a family while making it. And there's just not a lot of drama. It's just like a cool hang every day. We're really lucky. We hang out outside of shooting, and yeah, I would say that's probably the most fun.
Can you dig it?
Life in Pieces airs tonight, 9:30, and that is on CBS. And that's it. That's a full report. Nick pulled up information on the $6 billion man.
Still in pre-production, but it looks like it will happen at some point. They just haven't moved forward with actual filming yet.
Interesting. All right, let us take a break. We have several things to get to today. We're going to have Byron Bowers, comedian, who's going to be at Punchline stopping by this morning. We also have a chance for you to win $1,000, maybe even $10,000, with our Fund Yourself 2 competition. 8 o'clock is when we'll get you that special word, and I'll tell you how you enter it and maybe walk away with some extra money this morning. We also have an announcement of a Save the Date coming up in a little bit. So we'll return shortly. Make sure you stay with us this morning.
So your cash flows low and you need some dough, and I'm like, fund you.
MMR's Fund You Too. Your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times a day.
Hey, fund you.
Hey, fund you too.
Weekdays, tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear the hour's winning keyword. We give you 15 minutes to enter it via the MMR app on your mobile device, the contest page at WMMR.com, or text it to the short code 45911. One random entry wins $1,000 in cash.
We wanna fund you.
MMR's Fund You Too. 5 chances to win a grand. Weekdays at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m. All the details and contest rules at WMMR.com.
Brought to you by A&T Subaru. Subarus really do cost less in Sellersville.
And by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
So I'm sitting here, literally, I'm sifting through papers. I have so many things that we haven't even had a chance to get to, stories that are worth bringing up but may not indeed have a full conversation behind them to where we could talk for 45 minutes about it. So I'd say it's time to clean out my junk drawer.
Yeah!
I'd say so, yeah.
You know what did this for you, by the way?
What?
We heard this morning on the news.
It was on a commercial of this song.
So they stole our theme.
Was playing, and I'm like, that's the junk drawer theme. How dare you?
Rat
for some
bastard.
Medication or something like that. So anyhow, it gave me the idea. Let me dig around in here and see what... Oh, you know what? First thing I'm going to bring up actually is at the top of the list that Nick had just sent me a link to over, and I thought this was kind of nice. Adam Goldberg is interviewed in Philly Voice, I believe it is. In
yeah.
It, right? And in it, he gave a plug to us.
Oh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in fact, he also gives a plug to our buddy Ike Richmond, too, which I thought was pretty cool. He was asked by the guy conducting the interview, is Ed Condren. And he said, speaking of hockey, there's an old there's an episode where you're playing for the old York Road Raiders and you're terrible. Were you that bad at ice hockey or is that a hyperbole? He said, the funny thing is, my old hockey coach, Ike Richmond, at Old York Road, became one of the heads of the Flyers public relations staff. And I started playing for him when I was about 6 years old. And he said I was the worst hockey player he had ever coached, which I take as a point of pride. He said, I have a lazy eye with no depth perception. There's an episode in which I scored in my own goal, and that's all true, and Ike remembers it. So I thought that was funny. And then at the near the end of the interview, Ed asks him, you've covered so many bases when it comes to Philadelphia pop culture on the Goldbergs. What would you like to tackle next? And then Adam says, I want to do something on when WrestleMania came to Philadelphia. He said, I went to WrestleMania 2 with Hulk Hogan.
Wow.
And then he goes on to say, when I was on Preston and Steve's show, they said I should do a Pulsations episode. And there's always stuff to do. We've yet to do a Down the Shore episode, too. So there's so much material.
They did do a Down the Shore. They just, it wasn't the main focus. It was sort of happening. But, it's amazing what they do. And like, and by the way, that lazy eye thing, they have fun with that on the show.
Do they really?
He'll take off his glasses and the eye will start.
Well, it's kind of come full circle, by the way, because Ike Richmond is now doing, like, PR for Adam Goldberg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anytime that there is, has anything to do with the band Rush, Ike sends me a text about it, about it being on the Goldbergs.
He's a good dude.
They're always bringing up Rush, which is great, because Adam is a huge Rush fan. So I just thought that was kind of fun.
That's awesome.
Little tidbit. So that's done. That's out of junk drawer. Let me find something. Okay. Let me run this, but this might actually be a conversation, but I found this kind of interesting. This was a poster on a Reddit parenting forum about an incident that happened at a child's birthday party. The mom said she took her six-year-old daughter to a classmate's birthday party at a Build-A-Bear workshop.
Build-A-Bear.
This past weekend. After the children spent time making their bears, the group left the store and planned to go back to the birthday girl's house for the rest of the party. However, as the kids left the workshop, the mom of the birthday girl announced that each child would have to turn their bear over to the daughter.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that they were making the bears to give to the daughter.
No, I would not burn the place down.
No, yeah, no.
That is psychotic.
I've never heard of that.
Idiot mother does that. You're going to have a bunch of kids there and then tell them they can't have the teddy bear they
that
made?
That they worked on?
Moron.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy?
Sons of bitches.
Is when you started this conversation, Preston, I thought you were going to say she was going to make each person pay for the bear.
That's what I thought, too.
I thought you were still
would have killed her.
And this is worse.
This is worse. Because, Steve, at Build-A-Bear, like, you know, they give you a little heart.
Yeah. You put the heart in it.
Kiss it.
And there's glass, and there's a little scroll you can buy for two. Mm-hmm. And how much will that be? That'll be $4,420.
Oh, my God.
It's actually less to purchase a real Kodiak bear.
Yeah.
And typically, when you go to a Build-A-Bear party, that's what you're paying for. You're paying so that each child gets a bear. Yeah. You're not making it for the birthday girl.
Oh, and by the way, the bears themselves are, obviously, they're a little bit pricey. Where you really go over top are the accessories.
The clothes. The clothes.
My God. That end up mismatched and in a pile, and they lose them. But if you want to get the skateboard, that's $45, you know, or whatever.
We've gone a couple times. My wife just loved the Build-A-Bear. So we're doing a couple. Okay. We had like three or four of them on top of the. Yes, absolutely. I have no grounds to talk. So but they become dust collectors. Mm. And you're right, Preston. The jungle hat that was on the one bear with the cats playing dancing with.
I kid you not, there were times, and it would happen. I know exactly where all the Build-A-Bear bears are in the malls, especially the King of Prussia Mall.
You know how to avoid them.
If we would be walking and I would forget that we were heading in that direction, Casey, it's almost like you.
Look over there.
When something inappropriate comes on television.
Hey! Look over there!
Free candy!
Fire!
You know, whatever. And just like move along. Let's go. Because the moment they start to steer you in that direction.
And they're designed to just suck kids in like a black hole.
Yeah, you're right. It's like a vacuum cleaner. So apparently the mom posted, all is well. We leave the store. Then friend's mom announces that the kids need to give all of their animals to her daughter.
What a deranged lunatic.
And what family wants all those stuffed animals anyway?
True. And then it says, cue the upset and angry kids. They all disappointingly handed over their animals, and one friend wasn't even being nice about it, or the friend wasn't even being nice about it either. Another little boy didn't want to,
and the
friend ripped it out of his hands. I probably should have said something, but I didn't. The other parents seemed pretty baffled as well.
I'm not giving you this goddamn bear. In fact, Preston, that's when you become Pacino and Godfather 2.
Yeah.
I'm not giving you anything.
Yeah.
In fact, we'd appreciate if you'd pay for all our bears.
yes, exactly.
Yeah, you'll put the gambling license up. You'll pay for that.
Well, and congratulations, Mom. Now your kid has no friends, and all the other moms are talking about you.
Yeah.
How can you be so bereft of what's going to work with kids?
Nick, did you just find Build-A-Bear panties?
Yeah. Now, listen. Here's a search I've never done before.
Okay.
Build-A-Bear panties. But somebody texted
in. Now, that's a store I'll go to.
Yeah. The text was, Build-A-Bear panties are over $10 alone. So I had to ask this person who texted that, wait, panties? And then I Googled Build-A-Bear panties. And he's right, or she's right, that you can buy used Build-A-Bear panties.
Shut up.
Ew.
Ew.
They're used. Holy crap.
Oh, my God. I didn't
used
know.
Build-A-Bear panties? Yeah.
Well, you know, because you
these
know what it is.
Smell
what...
like salmon.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean.
Doesn't mean that
bear, didn't have to be an animal. Yeah.
Bear's got to eat.
Could be said for just regular panties.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Anyhow, I thought that was outrageous and stupid.
It is.
And worth bringing up.
But to Kathy's point, you just eliminated the entire friend base of this kid.
What is this, Marissa? This is
she wants to have some of those panties.
No. This is the Build-A-Bear party packages. She pulled this up. All right, so Super Smiles Party, $18 per guest, one furry friend for each guest, value up to $12, and one T-shirt. That's not bad, $18.
No, it's not bad. So we went to a Build-A-Bear party a couple of
years
ago.
That's the low end, by the way.
Yeah, and they got the bear. They were able to...
You get to watch other children put bears together.
Well, but they were able to customize their bear, and then they got an outfit, too, with, the package that the party
included?
We went to. No, but it was it was a pretty good deal.
Okay.
Listen, traditionally, as you were saying earlier, it's a more expensive proposition, but... it works.
By the way, there's 18, 25, 35, and $45 party package.
Really? All right, what are your thoughts on...
The Elite comes with Cavassier.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this theory? What if this didn't actually happen, and this is just Build-A-Bear who threw this on Reddit?
It's quite possible. You know, I'm a big cynic, but I also know how deranged some parents can be.
Yeah. Wait, what would they get out of it?
Oh, publicity.
Yeah, they got plenty of publicity this year.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah, they don't need any more.
Yeah, what was that about?
Everybody showed up for that free bear thing.
They got overwhelmed. They couldn't satisfy all the requirements.
They ended up sending out a coupon to anybody who waited in the line I think it was like a VIP member, and you could use the coupon at any time.
But this isn't negative on Build-A-Bear at all. This is negative on this quote-unquote woman, whatever her name is, Karen.
What are you talking about?
Just go to the next story.
Karen?
No, I think the lady's name is Karen. I saw it up on the screen up there. But I'm just saying, what do you mean, what am I talking about?
Saying Build-A-Bear made this up, now you're going back to a real person, Karen? What do you I don't understand.
Karen in quotations is what he's saying.
It's, so this woman who took all the teddy bears.
Karen.
Yeah.
By the way, Casey, for those of you who are listening on the radio, is doing air quotes right now. Go ahead.
Yeah. Never mind, Preston. Move on.
I just don't understand.
You guys really need to get to the bottom of this anger.
How you don't understand. I haven't even detracted from what I was initially saying.
Casey, how does it make you feel when Preston doesn't acknowledge your air quotes that no one can see?
Go ahead.
I'm done talking about this.
Okay,
just
move
Preston, on. How does it make you feel?
Confused.
Do we need our combat bats?
So Casey's saying that maybe they floated this story out there to get to some publicity.
Possibly.
Okay. And then your follow-up was?
Karen.
Is Karen a fake person that...
Karen is the person in the story.
I'm done talking about it, Preston. I'm done.
Okay.
All right?
I'm crying.
I didn't see a name on here because it says the mom said... It said... an anonymous poster on Reddit. So, I didn't see a Karen. That's what threw me off.
Yeah.
Okay. You are in the doghouse.
I'm horrible. He's mad at me now.
You are sorry. In the doghouse.
All right. Let me find another item in the junk drawer.
And it better not mention Karen.
No, this is about Pepsi.
Karen Wilcox, the CEO of Pepsi. God, there's a name again. I thought I just got out of this.
Pepsi has consulted with a Russian space startup offering brands the chance to project their logos into the night skies via low-orbit satellites.
Do you think this is just a scam, that none of this is happening just to get Pepsi in the news?
You know what? We should consider that with every single story I bring up today.
There was another company that was talking about doing this.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there was actually, yeah, Steve. Yeah.
And I'm curious as to how it would appear to us.
Yeah. How it would look,
yes,
in the sky. Yeah, exactly. So PepsiCo said its Russian subsidiary agreed to a partnership with what's a company called Star Rocket.
This is a great day for Canon.
For an exploratory test for Stratosphere advertisements of its Adrenaline Rush energy drink, they'll claim that it would not complete the project. The startup says, and this is a startup, this is why it will probably not go anywhere, but the startup says that it will use an array of microsatellites to project companies' logos into low Earth orbit, with images on its website showing how images might appear floating across the sky.
So basically, a ultra-high-tech version of skywriting.
Yep, yeah, or, you know, a sky billboard of,
yeah,
sorts.
Yeah, yeah.
So they said that space has to be beautiful. With the best brands, our sky will amaze us every night.
No. Yeah, that sounds like a bunch of nonsense.
Shut up. Not everyone is convinced.
If you thought a starry sky line was impressive, wait till you see the Coke logo.
Not everyone is convinced by the idea, with some people taking to social media to label it space pollution, while others called for a boycott of Pepsi company products.
Wow.
Since futurism
that didn't work.
First reported Pepsi's interest in the technology, the soft drinks firm says it claimed the partnership with Star Rocket was a one-time event and does not plan to test the technology any further at this time. On the website, it said that for the startup, it said that it will charge companies $200,000 to deploy the orbital advert in the night sky for 8 hours, and $500,000 will cover 10 days of the space ad.
Wow.
And like you said, Steve, this is not the first time,
yeah,
that extraterrestrial advertising has been proposed, with one Japanese startup aiming to place billboards on the surface of the moon by 2020.
Could you? There is something rather cheap and gaudy about that. To take, agreed, the moon and have billboards up on the moon.
By the way, tests of the technology are yet to take place, and Star Rocket is currently looking for $25 million in funding to make the next generation advertising platform a reality. So they need some help.
Start a GoFundMe page.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Other things within the junk drawer. I love this. In 2007, a 15-year-old chimpanzee named Julie started sporting a blade of grass behind one ear, a trend that drove her fellow apes wild. This is a pretty crazy story. First, her son donned his own ear ornament, followed by eight other chimps in Julie's troop of 12, who all lived in a sanctuary in Zambia.
So they were effectively accessorizing?
It's exactly what they were doing.
Wow.
And Julie was the trendsetter. When Julie died in 2012, her local gang kept wearing the single blade accessory, and the style eventually spread to fashion-forward chimps in two nearby populations.
I was just over the vacation, I was reading a story, and I kid you not, about they had had some chimps in an enclosure, and they were, you know, testing, just behavioral testing, not, you know, electrodes in the brains and stuff like that. And they put in clothes and shoes and things, and they started to wear them.
Really? On their own?
Voluntarily.
No kidding.
And there's another story, which I'll send you, that pertains to this press, and which proves that Battle for the Planet of the Apes will happen. And
we'll be
subjugated to simian rule.
Julie and her fellow fashionistas were likely copying each other just to be with the in crowd, writes Adam Rutherford in his book called Humanimal: How Homo Sapiens Became Nature's Most Paradoxical Creature. They're not the only beast to display human-like behavior, whether it's a creative use of tools, enjoying recreational sex, or harnessing fire. It turns out that animals are often just like us.
So chimps get their groove on.
Yeah. Well, there's a few different animals. So let me get into details here. So it is well known that chimpanzees use sticks to dig termites out of holes.
I do as well.
But many other creatures also get smart in the quest for snacks. As recently as 150 years ago, he said, we thought we were the only organisms to use tools, but now we know 1% of the species does. Bottlenose dolphins in Shark Bay, Australia, these resourceful sea animals wrap live sponges around their beaks to scrounge for spiky bottom feeders. Crows use sticks as hooks to root out grubs, and apparently that shows an astonishing level of analogical reasoning, which allows them to think a few steps ahead.
Did you know that badgers use DeWalt miter saws?
No.
Yeah.
Wow. Australian birds of prey will pick up burning sticks from bushfire and then drop them in a dry, grassy area to ignite a blaze and then await the dinner bell as small animals flee. They actually use fire.
Yeah. It's amazing.
These pyromaniac hawks could explain why wildfires often start in odd places.
Well, this would explain why I saw a ferret driving an SUV yesterday.
Okay. Maybe. Maybe we're not thinking.
Well, listen, you know, it's pretty wild how inventive they get. Mm-hmm. What was the... So, in this case, we were... I can't believe I'm forgetting the gentleman's name was doing the... Dreadnoughticus.
Lochinvar.
Lochinvar,
right, yes.
Yeah.
So, they were talking about... You know, we're talking about... How the adaptations of nature and the brilliant ways that, you know, we think these creatures are just one note things. Okay, this is how they hunt. This is how they do it.
Right, right.
But even on a basic level, we'll come up with workarounds. Yes. You know.
By the way, getting to the sex side of things.
Yeah, chimp sex.
Fornication among the horniest creatures on the planet. Bonobo primates from the Congo Basin is unmatched among animals, including us. Bonobos engage in some type of sex act 10 times a day.
All right.
And
oh my.
And yet they have babies just once every 5 or 6 years.
That's Michael Jackson.
That is Michael Jackson. Dude, that's...
I'm going bonobo on your ass.
Yeah. So they have 10 times a day. They just have babies once every 5 or 6 years. So they're banging all the time, but they're only getting...
Well, they use rubbers.
A bonobo bundle of joy comes along only once out of every 18,250 sex acts.
No way.
While humans conceive...
Squeaky, I have something to tell you. I'm pregnant.
Humans conceive roughly once out of every 1,000 acts of heterosexual intercourse.
Oh, wow, man. That is wild.
Rutherford said that bonobos are weird. He said they've been isolated on the left bank of the Congo River for more than a million years. All social engagements involve some sort of sexual congress. Sex, including same-sex sex, is used for greetings, resolving conflicts, asserting the social hierarchy, or just showing excitement over a meal.
Maybe they have it right. Yeah. If you're deflecting a road rage incident, Preston, if instead of you were to throw down with the guy, what if you were to have sex with him?
Ah, yeah. Maybe
that would help mitigate the anger.
I would think that would make life a little bit more pleasant, right?
Wow, that is amazing. The story that I had read is actually they were looking to use human DNA to increase, where have you heard this before, the intelligence of chimpanzees. And they've already started doing it so that they could be our overlords and put us into prison work camps.
Now, they're doing some pretty wild stuff medically. In fact, I can move on to a story about another medical discovery. Scientists have printed the world's first 3D heart.
Printed a 3D heart.
Using a patient's own cells.
That's wild.
Scientists have previously built synthetic hearts and bioengineered tissues using a patient's cells, but this is the first time the scientists actually created a complex organ
with
biological materials.
The problem is, as it comes out of the printer, it falls on the floor.
Lead researcher Tal Dvir, a material scientist and professor of molecular cell biology at Tel Aviv University, said this is the first time that anyone anywhere has successfully engineered and printed an entire heart replete with cells, blood vessels, ventricles, and chambers.
I mean, oh, my God.
Really amazing, because you
it's
talk
astonishing.
About, like, you know, bodies rejecting
organs.
Organs
happens all
like
the time.
That.
That's why you have to take drugs to stop your body from rejecting organs.
Mm-hmm.
And those drugs can be hazardous to your health.
Yes, they can.
Yep.
excuse me, this may be a stupid question, but how does a printer print cells? I could see ventricles and other, you know, but cells have internal working parts.
Yeah. Nick, what they can 3D print in general is astonishing.
Right.
So they were printing like valve replacements and things like that for the heart.
But that seems to be like tubes and, you know, things like...
How are you printing biological matter?
Right. Yeah. But the biological matter is what they're using to print. It's right. not like they're printing oh. with plastic. And,
right,
and
exactly.
Okay.
So you can get here, it at Staples.
I'll explain. No, it says, by the way, this for patients with heart failure, a heart transplant is the only solution, but there is lack of heart donors. Veer said that this heart is made from human cells and patient-specific biological materials. In our process, these materials serve as the bionics. No. Yeah, I guess so. Bio inks.
Bio ink.
Okay, that's I got it, as in a printer. Substances made of sugars and proteins that can be used for 3D printing of complex tissue models. God. Our results demonstrate this potential for our approach for engineering personalized tissue and organ replacement in the future. Now, the heart they made is very, very tiny. It's like the size of, it's only a few inches long. But it's
so it'd be for someone who's kind of callous and standoffish.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So what a small heart.
This guy's a small heart.
But they're on the way.
But amongst hummingbirds, this is huge.
That would be incredible. If they were able to engineer and create replacement organs, I mean, that's insanely futuristic.
But yet it's not. They're doing it. I've been flirting with the notion of getting a 3D printer, a small 3D printer, because it's just, it's amazing what you can, you know, there are all these things online that you can, I need this, and you, it just print, or you can send a design or create something and have it realize it for you, obviously in 3D. And so they're not expensive.
Jace is hoping that the Easter Bunny brings him a 3D printer.
Oh, really? How is it that you're seven? Is he seven?
Seven.
And I want the same things all the time.
Well, you know what's pretty amazing? So they have a 3D printer at the school, and they can create one project a year and actually print it out. And I saw the projects that the kids printed out. And I know that he's my son, and of course, I'm going to favor him. But his project, compared to the other ones that I saw lined up, like, he did a really good job with it on the computer. He created the whole thing. They told him, like, you know, the largest it could be. He went and maxed it out to make sure that his was the biggest.
What was it?
So he did a robot. He created a robot, and the 3D printer printed it out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Nice. All right. Well, maybe
I'm Alpha 5000. I'm your replacement, Kathy.
Replacement mommy.
Yeah. Made a replacement mommy.
I will let Jace play on his iPad all day long.
Oh, totally.
He does everything that he wants.
Yes. But I don't think the Easter Bunny will bring the 3D printer. We'll just wait for Uncle Steve to be finished with this.
I gave him my last robot. So.
All right. Here's another story. Completely different direction on this. Disney World, big place.
It is kind of big.
But how long would it take to ride every single ride? Anything where you're riding a vehicle and is listed on the Disney website. The bloggers who run a website called Parkology have actually developed a challenge in which one must ride all the rides within one day. And they say that most who complete the challenge, that's about 45 to 50 rides, depending on how many are closed for refurbishments. Usually can do it in about 17 to 18 hours.
So you went, and I think it's a smart move, and we talked about this before. It costs a little bit more, but to get sort of that cut-the-line deal, so that you can actually experience the park and get to ride a lot, is worth it, especially if you go there and you only get to ride just a handful. How many did you ride when you were there at the park?
That was in Disney World itself, or Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
So I don't remember, Steve.
Like 10, 11, 12?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
But here's the deal. They don't want you to do that for this particular challenge. In order to pull this off, you have to plan things out, including scheduling fast passes ahead of time.
So they're talking about with people in the park also.
Yeah. So when rides open and close for the day, starting early and knowing when to make a jump from one park to another. So this is all the parks. Riding all the rides.
Oh, man.
And being able to do it is about 18 hours or so in order to pull all of that off.
What was your favorite ride that you went on?
Wow.
I know Casey would think Avatar at this point, right?
I mean, I didn't get to ride that. That's on the list. In fact, that's kind of the only thing that I'd go back to Disney for, to be honest, because the other rides are, they're little kid, you know, targeted, and they're fun and magical and cool, but I want more thrill ride.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Toy Story thing was pretty cool.
Did you go on any of the roller coasters, the Rock and Roller Coaster?
You know what? That's a good ride.
Space Mountain's actually pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Still. I mean, and that's been around for decades now. And it's still really cool.
They don't have Captain EO anymore, do they?
No.
Especially now after leaving Neverland.
Yeah, they brought it back.
I'm back.
And it was terrible. I forget what they put or what they're putting in that, because it's a giant, like, pavilion.
Hi, I'm Michael Jackson, and I'd like to introduce you to the Bonobo Chimp Sex Experience. It's unbelievable, and you're going to love it.
Oh, Jesus.
This is a ride?
The Bonobo Sex Experience?
It's unbelievable.
Oh, do you have audio from that somewhere?
Yes, I do.
I don't know where that...
Did you like that? Tell a friend.
Okay. So anyway, it plan about 18 hours if you want to hit every single ride in the park. All right. Another junk tour item. A new study has found that people who force themselves to smile for customers or hide their feelings of annoyance may be more susceptible to heavy drinking.
I believe this. Huh. If the entire course of your day is like, if you're like a pharmaceutical rep or whatever, and you got to smile all day and, hey, and you're not that kind of person. Say like a Kathy.
That explains the excessive drinking at night.
Yeah, exactly.
Researchers at Penn State and the University of Buffalo studied the drinking habits of employees who work in the public eye. Some of the jobs studied include nurses, teachers, or food service employees.
That's what I would think. Like somebody, you know, in a restaurant who just has to be,
yes,
constantly has to be nice, probably wants to go home and have a beer or a glass of wine.
Yep. The study found a link between those who fake positive emotions or suppress feelings like eye rolling with heavy drinking after the shift.
That's a really impressive little robot you built. Love it.
Alicia Grandy, professor of psychology at Penn State, believes that these type of jobs should limit the need for employees to smile for the customer.
As a customer, I wouldn't be down with that.
I know. You know, I went by, you know where I enjoy going and get a great response from
where?
Almost everybody, from the people working in the garage to the front desks, is Penn. I was there yesterday.
I
think that they have been trained.
They are to be courteous, phenomenal
and helpful.
I was in for that procedure on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Everybody across the board, from the valet up front to everybody. And they said it is, you're there at traditionally what is a sort of nerve-wracking, uncomfortable situation for you.
Yep.
And they realized a long time ago that the little flourishes like that and the edict is that way to make it as pleasant as possible, because you're more likely to be proactive about your health, and they end up benefiting as a result of that.
When I go to park, as soon as you walk in where the elevators are, there's always someone there who says, good afternoon, sir. Do you know where you're going? Can I help you with this? And it's like, boom. I love that right off the bat. So places that have that type of... Well, then they start doing that. Now, they have that type of training, I appreciate.
Well, actually, Disney has that type of training. I mean, mm-hmm. I haven't been to Disney in a long time, but you guys have told me many times that the customer service there is pretty exemplary. And
those guys drink like crazy.
They probably do.
They're all alcoholics.
I played Pluto for 7 hours a goddamn day, and I can't say anything.
No, I was going to say, great customer service where people smile all the time is REI. Every time I ever go into that store, people just seem to enjoy working there, and they make sure that you're enjoying your shopping experience as well.
Lots of bars right around there, too.
That's so true. Yeah, a lot of booze.
Zip right out and get their drink from after smiling all day.
But those guys love what they do.
Right.
And I mean,
it shows.
And it really does show. But they will stop what they're doing. If you just ask one little question.
They love to talk about it.
You know what? Here, let me bring you over here. And this is what I like.
Alicia Grandy, professor of psychology at Penn State, believes that these type of jobs should limit the need for employees to smile for the customer. She said faking and suppressing emotions with customers was related to drinking beyond the stress of the job or feeling negatively.
Well, I think do that. Don't smile and act standoffish, and you won't even have to worry about a job.
It wasn't just feeling badly that makes them reach for a drink. Instead, the more they have to control negative emotions at work, the less they are able to control their alcohol intake after work.
I'd say they're thinking about this entirely in a wrong light. Because they smile all day, they can afford the booze they buy at night.
Okay.
Because that's part of the deal. But, yeah. I mean, I can't see any business saying, you know what? tamp down on the smiling and pleasantries.
Yeah.
A lot of people are texting and Chick-fil-A has happy employees.
They do.
You know what? They do. You're
they
right.
Have, they also have waffle fries.
They do. Those are good.
That's why they're happy.
Yeah.
They got them in there. No, you're right. They have been trained in customer service and they follow through. And I would imagine they've been told, look, you have to. This is our way.
It's called the way of the chicken.
Yeah. If you're not, it's not the way of the chicken. Get the F out of here.
All you right. ever see a sad chicken? Right. Never!
And that's all I'm going to clean out of the junk drawer today.
It's good stuff.
Thank you for letting me get into that. We started off on a pretty tense story, but we moved in some other stuff. Sorry about that, man.
We didn't start off there. We gradually went there.
You just got a sincere apology.
I thought that was the first story we went to.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, we are going to take a break.
Karen.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. And we have
Karen.
A chance. What?
Friggin' Karen.
All right, we're going to have a chance for you to win some money.
Yeah.
That'll put a smile on your face, drinking or no drinking. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
If you can send you some money now.
93.3 WMMR, Philadelphia.
Fund you, too.
Fund you, too.
All right, let's do this thing. We have a chance for you to win cash. This hour's keyword in the MMR Fund You, Too nationwide contest is radio. How about that?
Wow, that's what we do.
R-A-D-I-O. So you have until 8:15 to enter it via text to the special contest short code 45911, or you can enter the word radio using the MMR mobile app, or you can do it via the contest page at WMMR.com, and you'll be entered for a $10,000 grand prize. All right, so make sure that you get to this and do it, all right? Once again, the word is radio. R-A-D-I-O will call you if you're randomly selected, and you'll win $1,000. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com. Good luck. From A&T Subaru and WMMR. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning it is brought to you by Mulch Works of Aston, Pennsylvania, offering mulch, topsoil, compost, decorative and crushed stone, grass seed, straw, and more. MulchWorks delivers to residential and commercial markets. Visit them online at mulchthis.com or stop by in person to meet their friendly staff. A man in China has reportedly had an inch-long needle removed from his heart.
Whoa!
During four-hour open-chest surgery. The 27-year-old patient, known as Mr. Zhu, claimed a friend had inserted the sharp object into his chest as a prank when they were out drinking 2 months earlier.
The old needle in the heart prank.
Yep, Mr. Zhu said that he was drunk at the time and had not felt unwell until recently.
You're not laughing, Mr. Zhu.
He had to rush to a local hospital earlier this month after suffering from severe chest pain. Doctors were shocked to find a needle stuck in his heart, and the needle would beat whenever his heart had beat.
Oh, my God.
He followed it up with, cut your balls off.
Local medics were not confident to treat the patient and transferred him to another hospital. Upon examination, doctors discovered that part of the needle was stuck in a large vein below the right atrium of Mr. Zhu's heart.
That's unbelievable.
The rest of the needle was said to have poked into his heart. The hospital arranged emergency surgery. The needle was a 3-centimeter or 1.1-inch long acupuncture needle. They believed that it was first trapped under the patient's skin and gradually traveled towards his heart. He told reporters that the needle ended up inside his body when he and his friend were out drinking together on one day in February. He said, I was drunk. My friend poked a needle into my body before adding that he hadn't felt any pain. The man also claimed that he had managed to remove the needle from his skin on his own last month, but decided to insert it back into himself.
Zhu is an idiot.
Yeah, he refused to explain why and how he had done so. A large amount of fluid had accumulated around Mr. Zhu's heart, and his condition was said to be critical. Surgeons carried out a cardiopulmonary bypass procedure on him. Surgeons managed to find the needle after they cut him open and went into his inferior vena cava. They also repaired the wall of the vein after discovering that it had been partially damaged by the needle. He's expressed regret for his behavior.
I'm not a cardiologist, but I think you should refrain from jamming things into your heart, correct?
Probably a good idea, yeah. A Mississauga woman was shot with... Listen to how messed up this story is.
Now, the last one was pretty messed up.
Was shot with a crossbow when she answered the door to a fake delivery man in a targeted attack. Police say they believe was carried out by a hitman and was meant to kill her.
A hitman using a crossbow?
Yeah, listen to the details of this story. At first, it sounds goofy, but it's really malevolent. The 44-year-old victim survived the bizarre attack on her front doorstep, but she's never going to be the same again. The sergeant in charge, Sergeant Jim Kettle, said the injuries that she sustained are devastating. It involved damage to a lot of her internal organs. She'll be in recovery phase for the rest of her life. Her life will never be the same again. Police have released video and photographs of the suspect, hoping someone in the community can identify him. He said that this man was definitely a target type of attack, or this was most definitely a target type of attack. The victim was alone at the time, answered the door to someone dressed like a delivery man who was carrying a large package. Police say inside the box was a crossbow, the kind commonly used by hunters to kill moose and other large game.
Wow.
Police believe the man was holding the handle of the crossbow through a hole in one end of the box as he pointed it at the victim. The crossbow was never removed from the box. The victim and delivery man had a brief conversation, and then the man shot her in the chest. She was able to close the door as he ran and called 911. She saw him clearly but did not recognize him. Comments made by the victim or made to the victim by the suspect indicate that the victim was targeted and that the suspect may have carried out the attack at the request of another individual. So it's like, Steve, it's like Michael Corleone sends his regards.
Yeah.
It's like that type of thing.
Oh, my God.
So this person is saying, here's, you know, this is... You know, this is the message to you, or somebody wants you dead.
Do they have any indication, like an ex-lover or a stalker or something like that?
Police are ensuring her safety, and there are potential motives investigators have identified, but they aren't revealing any and are still looking for others. And the suspect did not cover his face, but may have been wearing a wig under a hat that he had on.
Did this woman by any chance run a Build-A-Bear party where the kids were forced to give the bears...
to the birthday girl.
We're not sure that was real. That may have been a ploy by the company. We're not sure. An Australian paramedic was paralyzed in her sleep after cracking her neck triggered a stroke at just 23. Natalie Kunicki was... Or no, it's...
Kunicki.
Kunikiki. Was watching a movie in bed after a night out when she stretched her neck and heard a loud crack. She thought a little of it, went to sleep, and she woke up 15 minutes later and she couldn't move her leg. When she tried to get up to go to the bathroom, she collapsed to the floor. She called an ambulance and a CAT scan confirmed she had suffered a stroke. Medics said when she cracked her neck, her vertebral artery, which is a major artery in the spine, had burst, causing a blood clot to form in her brain and triggered a stroke.
Isn't from the wild? Simple...
Yeah.
Process
like
of
you
yawning.
Just, you just turn your head a little bit and you hear a little pop.
Aren't you supposed to be able to turn your head without having a stroke?
You would think so. Natalie's left side was almost completely paralyzed, and she spent almost a month in the hospital as she tried to regain movement in her leg, arm,
it's
and
horrible.
Hand. She said, I wasn't even trying to crack my neck. I just moved, and it happened. I'm a paramedic, and I didn't call emergency services for 10 minutes because I thought it was too unlikely that it would be a stroke when I should have known much better.
We've all had those things where, like, you go to pick up a spoon, and you're rendered... a quadriplegic.
After struggling to fall back to sleep, Natalie finally put aside her embarrassment and called for help. They did this test, she said, where they hold your finger in the air and then you have to touch your nose and then your finger. And my hand went all over the place and I was saying, uh-oh, something's wrong. Test confirmed she had suffered a stroke and would need emergency surgery. While surgeons were able to repair her artery with a stent, they couldn't clear the clot in her brain and they believe that it will dissolve in time.
Not to run the bizarre files off the rails here, but I just heard this the other day and I didn't know if we discussed this or is this something that's common knowledge, but apparently when people experience strokes, they smell what they believe is toast. Have you ever heard this?
You know, that sounds vaguely familiar to me.
Right.
My
wife was bringing it up and I'm like,
really?
Why does that sound like that's accurate? There's a smell of toast. When people are going, it's one of the warning signs of having a stroke.
Well, here's Nick just pulled up an article. He did a search on it, and it says there's a popular myth that smelling burning toast is a sign of a brain tumor or that you're having a stroke. According to this source, it says that this isn't true. A stroke can affect any area of your brain. So it's possible that your sense of smell can be affected, but there's no particular smell that you need to worry about.
All right.
So maybe some people have reported that, but it may not be the case in all of them. But
a friend of mine who was a short order cook at a diner had a stroke. He said he smelled toast.
Really?
And eggs and bacon.
You know what? Going back to the neck cracking thing, do you know people who give themselves their own adjustment?
Yeah, I crack their neck.
Yeah, crack. I mean, like literally take their hands, grab underneath their chin and do this.
Yep.
I can't stand it when people do that.
Oof.
I mean, I know it feels good to them, but it looks and sounds
and like,
not
can it,
good.
I
leave that to professionals.
Yeah, I think it could be dangerous. My mom has, my dad's been doing it since I was a kid, and she always yells at him. She's like, stop doing that.
No, do you remove your own hemorrhoids? You know, I leave it to people who are better skilled for that.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, speaking of skilled people, we will be joined by a bunch of them for an event that is coming up. And that is the wonderful people at the Red Cross. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, to announce a save the date for the Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
Yay!
Right? And the reason that we do this now is because we're going to give you an opportunity to get out and donate blood before you come to our event and donate blood there as well. But it's going to be...
Just have a couple days.
Yeah, you only have a couple days.
You actually have a couple of hours.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I wish we could have gotten this sooner, but we're actually moving the event, and it's because of a scheduling conflict, and we'll, you know, we're headed back to this location. We're happy to because we've done it there before. But here's the date. The Presidency Blood Drive is Saturday, June 15th, our new location heading back to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks. We had the past couple of years done it at the Valley Forge Casino, but I mean, it's just a couple of miles down the road from there.
Right in the same area. And at the Valley Forge, they were livid, but they had had something actually booked years in advance for the date that we'd selected. And that's the only way it could work out.
So Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks, active donors, please note the last day that you can donate and still be eligible to donate at our blood drive is Friday, April 19th. And that is tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, if you feel the need to donate, please do it right away, and that way you can join us again for the American Red Cross Blood Services Region and Preston and Steve's I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
So last year, we were, 14, 18 units away from having the largest blood drive in the country?
In the country.
Yeah, we didn't know this until just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
We found out about that
just pints.
We had the Red Cross come by, and we were just pints away from the biggest blood drive in the nation. Had no idea. I knew we locally that we had been bigger than any other ones that come along. But the fact that we need to make this the biggest one in the nation.
We have to.
I think so. Because honestly, look, it's all about saving lives. But if we're not number one, it's a complete waste.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Right?
What a waste.
No. I mean, we're that close. We have to go for it.
All right. Now, signing up has not begun yet. We're just giving you the save the date, so you can go ahead and donate now, today or tomorrow, and then join us for our event.
And we need to sort of hit that as much as we can because we're going to need, again, precedence, as we said many years, and last year people heeded it even more, which is to check the parameters of what makes you eligible to donate.
Yep.
Now, you will show up, and people are going to show up that morning, mm-hmm. and they're going to have low iron, or they're going to be a whatever situation. That's fine. We got it. But if ahead of the curve, you can make sure that you have everything, your ducks in the proverbial row, and you can come in and donate. That's great. I think there are a couple of things that we've heard that are going to be in place that are going to expedite that whole procedure even further, where you're actually registering ahead of, going in and all that stuff. So we'll tell you more about that. But, just be 11 pints off the biggest in the country is crazy.
Once we start officially having people sign up, we'll reveal those details.
Yeah.
But thanks for bringing that up, Case, because I think that we really need to drive that home. Let's make this the biggest one.
The biggest one in the country.
I mean, we already have the largest food drive in the country.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's do this, too.
Let's do this.
All right. So, once again, just mark that in your calendar. Saturday, June 15th is when the blood drive. And this will be our 14th annual. Pretty cool deal.
That's freaking awesome.
All right, we're going to take a break. Just about out of time, but close. The word for Fund You 2 is radio. You got like 2 minutes left to enter that in. And you can do it through the special contest short code 45911. Text it or use the WMMR mobile app, or you can go to WMMR.com. But radio is the word. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure that you stay with us.
Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Kathy, people are concerned about you.
Why? Well,
yeah. I mean, you're going on hikes, you're getting in nature, you're going to Ringing Rocks. There's some legitimate concerns on the text messages.
No, so here's what happened. We had a different spring break than the kids this year, and so I feel bad that Jace is stuck at home for spring break. So I said, we're going to do something every day. He can awesome. Pick something, and we're going to go out. We're going to do something. So
he's picking his locations?
Well, no, I mean, I'm giving him the options. Yeah. I'm telling him about all of it. And
we could go to Macy's. We could go to Lord & Taylor. Oh, we can go.
We were driving home the
3D
other day.
Printer shopping?
No, listen, we were driving home the other day, and he's like, can we stop somewhere? I'm like, well, where do you want to stop? I thought maybe you wanted something to eat. He was like, yeah. Target? And I was like,
yes!
Sure, honey.
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
I love this child.
I shall call him Jace.
Hey, quickly, I'm going to recap. I left the show yesterday a little bit early because I needed to go get an allergy test. It was done. They call them a challenge.
Yes.
So I went
to run up Mount Nagori or right. whatever it is.
No, I went to see a gentleman named Dr. Basso at Penn because years and years ago I had taken a leave for I had a headache or something like that. And I had broken out in hives like an hour or so later. And my doctor at the time said, okay, you know, I kind of passingly mentioned it to him. He's like, oh, you should have told me. He's like, don't ever take that again. Don't ever take ibuprofen or aspirin again, because that means you got an allergy and it could be very, 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 very dangerous.
Yeah.
So I haven't taken that stuff in, 12, 15 years, something like that. And as I am now over 50 years old, I have more joint pains and things like that pop. I'm like, an anti-inflammatory would be kind of handy because Tylenol only does so much. So, and I recently found out I'm not allergic to penicillin anymore. Well, maybe the same is for ibuprofen. So,
quite possible.
So I set up this test, and it's a five-hour-long thing. That's why I had to leave early, because of the way they staff for these events. And
it's 5 hours because they monitor you, right?
Yeah. So they it starts in the morning, and they give you just a tiny bit, and then they wait an hour.
Yeah.
They give you a tiny bit more, a little bit bigger dosage, and then they wait another hour. And then they give you a larger dosage, and then they wait for like 2.5 hours. And check you out and see how you're doing.
And then they put a hose in your mouth.
So I went to do this yesterday, and I brought plenty of things to keep me occupied, about magazines and some movies I downloaded and stuff like that. So it was no problem spending the time there. But I made it to, there was 30 minutes left in the test. I'm already texting Dr. Mike saying, hey, no reaction. This is looking good. And sure enough, right after I sent that test, splotches and bumps all over my face.
At the ass end of the whole thing.
At the very end of it.
Damn.
And Dr. Basso comes and he's like, yep, you're still allergic. Son of a bitch. So that's across the board. And it doesn't matter, if it's a leave or Advil or any of I'm allergic to them and I can't take them. And I was so bummed out. The upside of the whole thing was at the end of it. So what they do is they put a port in your vein in case they need to give you some emergency medication to counteract whatever reaction you're having. Right. So we're done, and they're like, okay, give him Benadryl. So they shoot me with Benadryl straight in the vein. I think I found my drug of choice.
Well,
who's a big fan.
That gave me one hell of a buzz, man.
Oh, Benadryl?
Yeah.
That's Cosby's
That's right.
Drug of choice.
I did not know. And they go, we're going to have to give you Benadryl. And they go, did you ever ride home? I said, no, I drove here myself. They were like, well, you can't drive. And it's like, well, for how long? I said, 24 hours. I was like, seriously?
What?
I'm like, whatever, man. They give it to me. And I'm like, yeah, I can't drive. There's no way. I was wasted. I mean, like, Steve, it reminded me of if you've ever had nitrous at the doctor's office.
I've never had. Was it like propofol-esque?
A little bit. But you don't go that far out. But it's like nitrous when you go to the dentist. And, that only lasts for a short amount of time when they take it. That's why they constantly have it on that little nose cap thing running all the time. It dissipates very quickly. But it was like an extended nitrous.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, man. I was like, I'm talking like this when I was talking to my tongue. It's all messed up. And
so, while you're under, you're hearing,
it's okay. I'll watch him while you step out.
Right. But I was bummed out, so I can't.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
There's another medication called Celebrex that I can be tested for that can be that has anti-inflammatory properties to it, and I'm going to do another test for that down the road in like a month or so. So anyway.
The Celebrex commercial is totally rocking. It's a bunch of 70-year-olds having a chicken dinner outside.
What?
Yeah. You always see it on
all those
any news channel has commercials for 80-year-olds.
Yeah.
So is your stool as soft as it should be?
Yeah. So anyhow, but right after that, I got to go have an MRI and I passed out in that because I was so hammered
from
the
Benadryl. Well,
that's good. Right? Yeah. Laid down for a half hour.
So you had your wife came and got you and
she
had like Parker in the car with her?
I had to get in touch with her. No, Carter was down at the ball game sang the national anthem with his group from school.
Wow.
And so Rochelle came down and picked me up and gave me a ride back.
And she drove you in this morning, did she not?
She did, because my car is still at Penn. I have to go get it after the show today. Yeah. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was kind of a pain in the ass. But
you should
get
her flowers.
What's that?
You should get her flowers.
You know what? You're right.
Actually, you should watch all the kids so she can come with me to Floral and Hardy on Saturday.
Oh, you're going to Floral and Hardy
on
Saturday?
Yes, she texted me. So they're having an adult Easter egg hunt, so I'll be there. But I told her to come, and so she's going to try to sneak away, so I think you should let her.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a celebrity here today, Kathy Romano.
What time is that going on?
1:30.
Okay, good. That's not drinking time yet.
You'll be fine.
You know what they say, it's 1:30 in the afternoon somewhere in the world.
Hey, you know what? Like, speaking of not driving when you're intoxicated or high or whatever.
That's illegal, right?
It is illegal. But I had a question about that. I have a friend who recently was in a situation where they were playing golf with somebody.
Yes.
Who drank a ton during the outing. And then he drove home.
Yeah.
And so, he let him he was in a situation where he's like, I don't know what to do here. Like, this person lives far enough away where he, even if it was a mile away, he was drunk enough that he shouldn't have gotten in the car and driven away.
All right.
But he was also like a full blown adult dude was in his like 50s or, you know what? And that does not matter. But
you need to take the keys away.
Yeah. But he had said like, it was just like, I'm not his dad.
He used to have commercials.
Yeah.
And it was exactly to deal with this sort of thing. And the thing was, listen, we love you.
Mm-hmm.
We understand we might be wrong, but we want to err on the side of caution. And we'll get you all set. We'll work with you. We'll get you to your car. We would want you to do this for us, so we're going to do it for you. And hopefully, if they understand. And if not, you just shoot them.
No. Right?
It's funny, the drunk mentality, it's so funny because I've been on that end of it as well, where it's like, why is it such a big deal to have somebody give you a lift home? You know what I mean?
Right?
Why, you can figure it out tomorrow. It's going to be cool. Don't worry about it. But no, I'm doing this. This is me. I'm blah, 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 and that whole thing.
Have you ever made, so when you're, there's the pact you make, I guess. Now, I've never been drunk. I've never, that's never been my thing. But I know for a fact that there are packs that you make if you're out and kids make it with their parents, if they're getting, sloshed or whatever, that there's a designated driver. They make sure there's somebody. You call us, no judgment, we'll come get you, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
As an adult, when you go out with friends, is there any sort of understanding? If you are at a golf outing where you might imbibe or over-imbibe, sort of an unspoken understanding with friends, Preston, that, would you be upset if you were out and say, Will Chapman or one of your buddies said, hey, listen, I'm making a call here,
No, it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't think so. Not now.
Yeah.
In my 20s, probably.
Yeah.
For some reason. I don't, but that's why I said the mentality is strange.
Yeah. We can still call my mom at any hour.
Oh, really?
And she'll come get us.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Call her now.
Listen, if we were drunk and we needed to go somewhere, she'd be like, I'll be right over.
Oh, my God. Price, you should have called her.
I should have called Kathy's mom?
Yeah.
Hey, Jerry. Come here.
And she also would have told
I have some Benadryl.
She also would have told you don't need ibuprofen.
You're right. I know.
She would have given you apple cider vinegar.
Or whatever it is. Yeah.
Here, rub this marshmallow compost on there.
Tart cherry juice, apparently. Yeah. That people are suggesting.
Oh, really?
That a natural alternative, yes.
Absolutely.
But what, Steve, sometimes...
During World War II on the battlefield, tart cherry juice.
Wait, that's a...
It's a thing.
It is a thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Corbin! We need tart cherry juice! This is sweet cherry juice!
I had no idea that on the battlefield they used that and...
and you stick your hand down into a bowl of tart cherry juice... That a minute ago was your best friend's face.
All right. Hey, I did have this completely unrelated other thing that I wouldn't mind bringing up. Kathy sent this to me. It's not even really an article or anything like that. It's simply just a, it's a graphic that says you can only pick two smells. And then it's got a list of things that you choose from. Now, I don't know.
They have a mandated list?
It's a mandated list, and, and you have to pick two of these smells. And at first, I'm like, oh, this is kind of stupid. And then I looked at all the things on here. I'm like, this is a really hard decision.
I know the two that I would
pick. Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the list there, Kathy?
Yes.
All right. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 16 on here, okay?
All right.
So you can only pick two smells.
Hmm.
And let me read these to you, and we'll see what you guys think, all right? Fresh cut grass.
Mm-hmm.
Homemade bread, strong coffee, line dried sheets, dark chocolate, garden dirt. That one's kind of weird. Campfire, brownies baking, chlorine.
Chlorine.
I love chlorine.
Me too.
I do too, man.
Oh,
I do
it.
Too.
Yep.
Baby snuggles, apple pie.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm sorry. Baby snuggles?
I would imagine the sheets.
Nick, can you do a search on baby snuggles and see what product comes up?
Snuggles, the fabric
because a snuggle is a verb, right?
I think it's actually a baby.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is. Because, you know, if you smell the top of a baby's head, it's actually.
What if you smell the ass, though?
Well, that's
a whole other game.
All right, then you have apple pie. Banana boat sunscreen.
I love it.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. New books, fresh towels, leather boots, or right before it rains.
Also like that.
So all of these are very good.
Really good.
And you just only two smells you'll ever smell for the rest of your life?
There's one missing from here, though.
What?
That I think could be my favorite smell.
Cooter?
Well.
Burnt rubber.
I didn't think about that.
Burnt rubber.
No, not burnt rubber. Bacon cooking in the house.
Mm.
When I would wake up on the weekend and that would be the first thing, mom was cooking breakfast downstairs.
Chicken in the bread pan.
Picking out dough. No, that was a pretty special scent.
Yeah, your new breakfast would be ready for you when you got down there. I know what you mean.
Yep.
So what would you describe as the classic Christmas smell? Like a Christmas tree.
Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Evergreen,
yep.
Yeah, that's also a good one.
Also, you know what I love is the Easter smell, the hyacinth. You know what those are, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
The hyacinth.
Are they flowers?
Flowers, yeah.
Okay.
They're kind of like little mini flowers that kind of go up in a cone.
Okay.
It is the quintessential Easter smell.
They come up the same time as daffodils.
Mm-hmm.
And they're up at this time of year.
Yep.
This is tough. Fresh cut grass, homemade bread, strong coffee, line dried sheets, dark chocolate, garden dirt.
You're talking two smells only for the rest of your life.
Campfire, brownies, baking. Just two of these that would be your favorite. Chlorine. You can only pick two smells.
Yeah.
Chlorine, baby snuggles, apple pie, banana boat sunscreen, new books, fresh towels, leather boots, and right before it rains.
Mm. So do you want to know my two?
Yeah, what are yours?
Okay, so I did have a hard time between a number of them. So strong coffee, baby snuggles, the banana boat sunscreen, and right before it rains. But if I had to pick two, I would do strong coffee and baby snuggles.
No kidding.
Aww. Yeah.
Okay.
he's a nice guy.
Kathy, I'm with you on the strong coffee. That is definitely one that I... coffee, no doubt. I have a hard time with the other ones, just kind of keying in on one.
Okay.
Kathy, banana boat sunscreen kind of smells coconutty, right?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. It can, yeah.
All right.
And I don't like coconut, but I do love the smell of that.
Right.
I think, you know, now that we've quantified what baby snuggles is, I think that'd be one of mine.
Yeah.
Wow, is that is such a special scent.
So is it the baby itself or the baby powder and the baby?
No, it's the baby.
Yeah, it's
oils.
The baby.
It's like...
the newborn baby doesn't
And it was
smell.
Always because you hold the baby like this and their head is right here and you just lean over and just smell and it's just so...
It's kind of like a lot of smells. You gotta figure.
Does anyone find puppy breath a good smell?
Sure.
Not a good smell.
I do.
Right after they puke?
No.
No.
Maybe before that.
No, I kind of like, but the same thing with my kittens. Like, I mean, they're not kittens anymore, but when they were, they kind of that.
I love
like,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love animal, you know, listen, I love how my dog's pads smell like corn chips.
Corn chips, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the one. There are a bunch of people texting him ones that aren't on the list. Honeysuckle.
Yes.
Honey. Yeah. That's a, if you drive honeysuckle. If you drive by when those are blooming, oh, it smells so good.
My favorite flower smell is jasmine. And I don't know what that is, but like what
that's
it is
a favorite
about.
Prostitute of mine, jasmine.
Jasmine. Yeah. She's a great stripper as well.
It's like going, what is it?
I'll
the jasmine
the
in my
dancers
mind?
Out.
Yeah. But as far as like, Preston, you talked about sort of a memory associated with a smell and bacon and coffee. I get that. But my mom, to this day, makes excellent brownies. And so brownies baking, not only is it a pleasant smell in and of itself, but it evokes strong and happy
Not
memories.
Raisin meatballs?
She
puts meatballs in her brownies.
She does not. She puts raisin in her meatballs. But my mom's Italian cooking, that's a pretty great smell as well.
Mm-hmm.
There is a smell that I don't think anybody's ever going to smell ever again. And I loved it.
Dodo.
No. Dittos.
Dittos.
I was close.
What are dittos?
Ditto papers. Copiers.
Ditto papers.
Dittos in school.
Yes.
Remember that?
Kids,
there's a scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High where they pass out the dittos. You know, it's like a drum and you'd make multiple copies with ditto paper.
Uh-huh.
And
then
so
the whole
had,
class
had,
go,
they would get high off it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one smell that I love, and I do not smoke pot, but like somebody smoking weed.
Really?
Yes. I like.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Like, not if I'm right next to them, you're blowing it in my face, but just off in a distance where you're like, oh, somebody in the neighborhood smoking. Like that,
man,
I like.
Something to say about some good gnarly skunk bud, man. I'll tell you that.
It's the sweet leaf, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hang on a second. I want to go to someone who has not been able to smell for 10 years.
What?
Oh my gosh.
Jessica is on the line. Hi, Jessica. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Jessica, currently you still cannot smell, or can you?
I can. I actually had surgery about a year ago, and so I wasn't able to smell. Probably about 15 years off and on, and then 10 years just nothing. I couldn't smell anything, and so after the surgery, it was like amazing. The first thing I smelled was coffee, and I like burst into tears. It was the craziest thing.
Jessica, so just a quick thing. It was corrective surgery specifically to restore your olfactory senses, or
it was I had nasal polyps.
Oh, okay.
So I had,
all right.
Surgery where they cleared out all the nasal polyps and kind of cleared out my sinus cavity, and then it took about maybe a month and a half, and then it took about 6 months to like really for everything. Although I realized like the things that stink now are really strong. But
yeah, but you don't mind, do you?
Oh no, not at all. But campfire, hands down, is my absolute favorite thing to smell. Like it's just
no kidding.
But most of the things, it's all memory related. So, mm-hmm. like, I'll smell certain foods, and it makes me think of like certain times when I was a kid.
Well, they say your actual the clearest, most profound generator of tangible memories is smell,
without question.
Yeah,
without question. When that perfect combination of whatever odors creates that one that hits it right on the nail.
Yeah,
vivid images come in your mind.
Oh, Jessica, completely.
Did it affect your taste?
You know, for a long time it didn't, but towards the end, when part of what made me actually go through with the surgery was that I did. Like, certain things would just take, like, I'd lose notes of it. Like, fresh herbs are much stronger now, so, like, now I can't get enough basil.
Basil sauce and pesto?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and garlic. Oh, my God, garlic smells amazing.
What about garlic breath?
Garlic breath? Oh, bad breath stinks really bad, but garlic breath, I can go without that.
Well, that's okay. Wild that you got a new lease on nose.
Yeah, how long ago did your sense of smell return?
How long ago? It's been about a year.
Oh, okay. So you're still in it.
Like I'm still going through the seasons. Like the candy bag. Oh my God, the candy bag at Halloween was just like so awesome. Yeah. All those different smells, and it just brought me right back to being a kid. Okay.
So there's that dark chocolate smell that people, I do love that. Everything on this list, I don't.
Thanks, Jessica.
To me, I find it hard to. I tend to like. I do like the smell of fresh cut grass, which is outside, like on a spring day.
Specifically at the beginning of the season.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, like right now you're starting to get it, and then that's when it really smells great. When you're cutting the lawn in August, it sucks.
It's a little more angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can smell the humidity, too.
Yeah.
I know you weren't into it, Preston, but the fresh garden dirt, that'll do it for me. Because I like being...
A mulch? Mulch
is good, but like working in the garden, there's a smell to it, and it's a little more subtle than some of these
mulch
other ones.
Smells like poop.
It can,
but like Yeah, whatever.
Septic tank.
Potting soil and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Topsoil.
Can smell nice.
Good peat. I like a good peat.
A good peat smell.
Yeah.
Man, when we were in Ireland.
They used peat to heat homes.
They burned peat all over the place, and it did have this.
I love that smell.
Kind of interesting smell to it.
Really? Yeah, yeah, it was really a nice smell. We were in Newcastle West, which is a super quaint little Irish town, and that was, you could smell that all over the place.
Marissa?
I think my two favorites are not on this list.
Okay.
Number one is walking through the city and smelling dryer sheets coming out of dryer vents.
Okay.
I do like that smell.
I just love that. And then second one is fresh lumber. Like if a house is under construction?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about if somebody's been splitting wood? Like that smell?
It's probably the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, but like just walking through like Home Depot or like construction sites.
Okay.
That fresh lumber smell.
What about if someone is popping wood?
I love that one too.
What are your thoughts on diesel exhaust?
No. Behind the school bus. It made me think of that triggered a memory for just now. The smell of a two-stroke engine.
Yes.
I love the smell of
it. Yeah. I
had a motorcycle, and you had to add the oil and all that stuff, and we also had boats, Steve. You remember when you'd have to add the oil to that?
Yeah, the Johnson engines and then Evinrude.
And that always, I think of going to the lake or something like that when I smell a two-stroke engine.
On the baking thing, the brownies, I can certainly side with Nick on that. Chocolate chip cookies are definitely that.
I think I'd side with the apple pie, personally.
Really? Apple pies are wonderful, though. The ones that just, you know what? Honestly, good burgers being made.
Mm. Oh, yeah, like a burger on the grill?
Yeah.
On this list.
On this list specifically. You got to pick two.
All right, you're right. Then I would mix chlorine with banana boat sunscreen.
Mix them together?
Yeah, make it a stew.
Okay, all right.
You should mix chlorine and ammonia.
That can cure cancer. Yeah. I always thought that when I was a kid. If I mix toothpaste with mouthwash, I bet that'll cure cancer.
I'm just going to go with my gut because the more as you go down the list, you go, that one's good too. That one's good. The two that I gravitate to immediately are the baby snuggles and fresh cut grass. I think I'd choose those.
Okay. You know, then your perfect scenario is a baby mowing the lawn.
Wouldn't it be?
Get to work.
But I mean, those are the ones that I go.
A baby drawn lawnmower.
Immediately associate with good memory. So pick two quickly, Case. What do you think? I'm definitely thinking too hard about it.
Strong coffee. Okay. And I love sniffing coffee grounds. I love it. Brownies baking.
Okay. And Kathy, you already chose yours.
Yeah, I did the baby snuggles and coffee.
It's too hard for me.
Nick, what are you picking the two?
I'm going brownies and campfire.
Okay. Campfire's good, though, man. Wow. Okay. Hang on. I got some calls online. People want to add other things. What?
Kathy just turned her nose up at the campfire.
I was like,
oh, God. Outside.
And, of course, this leads to bizarre scents, things that would not be on this list for some reason you really like the smell of. I'm going to go to some callers. I have Barb on the line. Hey, Barb. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Barb?
Well, you're talking about the correlation of when you're younger and the sense of stick with you. I love the salt air, the seashore.
Yes.
It's a good one.
Especially when it first hits you.
Yeah.
You know, when you're driving there and all of a sudden you're like, we're close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so wonderful.
Yeah. Driving.
I love that. You know, it's similar. Well, for me, is late August when a senior citizen who's lived alone passes away.
Shut up.
And they open the door.
What is wrong with you?
It smells.
But Grandma,
that weird, so when you're driving,
I think we got one.
Yep.
When you're driving into, when you get off of the Garden State Parkway and you're heading into, it's a little stinky.
I don't smell it at that point. I usually have to get off at one of the exits first.
Low tide. That's what I'm saying. You're talking about like a low tide scenario.
Once you get off the Garden State Parkway and you're now heading in, there is a weird...
Yeah, there can be a rank smell.
And it's not the worst. I don't hate it.
But then there is definitely that beach smell that hits you.
Yeah, once you get past the marsh area and stuff like that.
Marsh.
When you mentioned bizarre smells, how about that sawdust that people in school, they would lay down on top of if somebody threw up? That sawdust stuff, whatever that was.
It was basically, a lot of it was sawdust initially. Our janitors used to have sawdust.
It smelled good.
Really? Yeah. When mixed with puke?
No.
When you mixed it with the right amount of puke. God, it was wonderful. And then the taste.
Yeah. Mm. Also, and Kathy, you'll never understand this, but urinal cakes smell so good.
Nope, what? Sure won't.
Yeah.
Urinal cakes?
Urinal cakes smell awesome.
I've smelled some that
then the taste.
Aren't that bad.
Oh, the icing.
Somebody texted in, fresh cut vagina.
Oh, what? Labiaplasty.
All right, let me go to Jake. Hi, Jake. Good morning. Jake, you're on the air.
Is it James or Jake?
I don't know.
James, it's you.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I was just saying that when you drive by the diner every morning, the fried onions coming out of the plates.
Fried onions, breakfast food in general, bacon and eggs and toast. You know, it elicits memories of major strokes.
Yeah, when you're at the ballpark and they're frying onions and peppers.
Yeah.
For the sausage, peppers and onion, and it smells so good.
I like the smell of Jim's steaks.
Yeah.
And then when you come out of there, you can just smell me.
Yeah.
Well, and you get the smell of Jim's steaks. You do smell like that place.
Absolutely.
It carries with you.
If I go to a place, I love the smell. I love the smell of, a breakfast restaurant. But if I leave and my hair, my clothes smell like that, it makes me sick.
Well, pizza. The smell of pizza. Freshly baked. Freshly, out of the oven pizza.
Yeah, that's
wonderful.
Good.
President, I'm so happy you said Jim's because that one in particular is the one place that makes me want to eat meat again.
Oh, really?
Walking down South Street, okay. I smell Jim's Steaks.
Yeah, they got those big ventilators on the side of the building, and it pumps all that smell outside.
Not by accident.
There's a pizza restaurant on 13th and Sansom that does the same thing.
Yeah.
So when you're, drunk walking out of the bar, you just kind of smell the
It's perfect. Pizza. It draws people in. Okay, here's an odd one. Let me go to Eric. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I used to work for Tower Records a long time ago, and it was the smell of a CD jewel case. It was like a sweet smell to it.
Really?
Sweet smell. Like a scent to it.
I'm trying to remember that smell.
I don't know that I recall that or not, but I guess you guys would get them in crates. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I could see that being a little overpowering. So so you file that as a favorable scent?
Yeah. It was nothing like the scent of a new CD. You unwrap it and it was just. It was just there, and
yeah,
it stayed for a while too. So
okay.
I'm trying to remember, but I do remember. I used to love getting Tower Records and coming back with five or six CDs. It was a great experience.
Let's try Corey out. He's got one. Hi, Corey. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Corey?
I like the smell of carpets.
Carpets,
like new carpet.
New carpet. Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Yep. When it definitely has a strong scent to it when it's brand new.
I always went into a carpet store when I was young with my parents. I would always just smell the carpets.
Okay. What's your son doing?
How'd that work out?
He really likes to sniff carpet.
You do me a favor. You keep an eye on that boy.
Yeah, thank you.
Leslie's Pool Supplies. I love the smell of that store.
Yep.
I love it.
Would that be chlorine?
Yeah. It's the plastic. There's a
It's Velma who works behind the counter.
It is not Velma. there's that pool plastic smell that I absolutely adore.
Well, on that, then there's something to say for the quote unquote new car smell.
Love the new car smell. Yep.
Which is pretty great, I have to admit it. And I don't think they all smell quite the same, but there is a something that's similar. Hold on, Chuck just brought something in. Chuck D'Amico. Yeah. He's carrying a shoebox.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Dead puppy.
So I got brand new.
What's it? What's dead that? Puppy.
Dead puppy. Dead puppy. Everybody, isn't it awesome? Look,
I got it in the box.
And I just
so
keep
I got
it around.
Brand new running shoes.
Ah.
They're actually not quite right for me. I'm going to return them. But I showed them to my friends, and everybody immediately just smelled them right up to the nose.
They
want to smell
here.
You.
Well, I'll pass them around. Here you go.
Thanks, Nick. Grab the
shoes. Okay, so you know what? A shoe store in general.
Ooh. Yeah, I dig that.
Smells nice. I immediately think of, you guys are going to die when I say this. When I smell this, I think of dicks.
I do like it. Of course you
Me
do.
Too.
Now,
isolate that, please.
Are you lifting up and smelling guns. Underneath, or are you?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. You mean the store?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Dicks.
Sporting goods.
I was asking if you were lifting up and smelling underneath, but Casey, are you good?
I already sniffed him. I was in his office.
Did you sniff him?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I usually do.
I
would never sniff somebody else's sneakers.
Uh-huh.
I didn't sniff your own.
If you like the smell of dicks, then
shut up.
Say sporting goods.
What about urologist's office?
Love it there. My friend said opening a new can of tennis balls.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The tennis ball. I love the smell of balls.
Yes. Fuzzy balls.
I get my dicks.
You can get all my fuzzy balls and I'm sniffing dicks.
Well, I mean, some balls smell better than others.
True.
Like a fresh football. Like a, like a leather football.
You know what else I used to like? Let's talk about smelling balls. The red ball from Dodgeball. Dodgeball.
Spalding made those, didn't they?
I don't remember a name on it, but yes, the standard.
You're right, Steve. Yeah.
That had a nice scent to it. A basketball smells kind of nice, too.
Yeah.
Hang
Benoit.
On.
Benoit.
Baseballs leather. Smell good.
Benoit balls smell lovely.
They have two different scents, before and after.
Mm-hmm. Let me, hang on, I'm going to go to Chris. Hi, Chris, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Yeah, bud. All right, so a scent.
It's something that reminds me of my dad. I don't know if you even make this stuff anymore. It's Old Spice aftershave.
Yeah.
Any cigar that I smell. My dad passed away when I was 10.
Oh.
So long.
Chris, a very nostalgic memory for you.
Chris, yeah, I still, every Sunday when I shave, and I just do it on Sunday, I put on Old Spice. They still make it. And I do it because of my dad. It's the same thing. It reminds me of his scent.
I shave.
And my dad's not gone or anything.
I slap on Old Spice. It reminds me of my mom.
Oh, isn't that nice?
When she would shave her face, she'd slap on a little Old Spice.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Exactly. All right, thanks.
And then we go to Dick's and smell some balls.
Let's go, Steve. Let's go to Dick's and smell some balls. And there it is. Uh-huh. All right. What's interesting, and you know what, Marissa, will you post this on social media and have you already did
you
it?
Already did,
I knew you would. But only two smells from this particular list. Obviously, we added a bunch to them, but fresh cut grass, homemade bread, strong coffee, line dried sheets, dark chocolate garden dirt, campfire brownies baking, chlorine baby snuggles, apple pie, banana boat sunscreen, new books, fresh towels, leather boots, right before it rains, and dicks. No, balls. No, wait. No, that's it. That's all on the list. So thank you for your calls. We do appreciate it. We got to take a break, though. We're having a guest on a little bit who's going to be appearing at Punchline.
Yes.
So we'll get him in here in a moment. And a reminder that we have a little soiree coming up, and it's a week from today. It's a party, and it's a sorority party, and it's ladies only. And this time around, it's called Sisters and Suds. Yes, we're taking our sorority sisters out for some craft beers.
Yay!
At Parks Casino. We're going to be in their beer garden. Retractable roof, really cool place, and it's a pinning party, so we'll have Zeta Eta Pi pins as well. Can I take 10 callers?
Yeah!
215-263-WMMR. You have to be at least 21 years of age, female, and the guest you bring has to be female, too. It's our sisters, man. It's a sorority.
Yeah!
We'll be back in a moment. We'll get Byron Bowers in here with us in just a second. Stay up.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, I'm excited for our next guest. He's playing for the first time in Philadelphia this weekend, which is really cool. And he's headed to a great place, Punchline Philly. There's a show tonight, two tomorrow, two on Saturday. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome to Byron Bowers.
Yeah. Hey, how y'all doing, gang? Thank y'all for having me.
Of course. How you doing, Byron?
Man, not bad, man. I just ate some grits.
You know what? Yeah, Marissa told me.
What? It's rare. Yeah, it's grits in this building.
Yeah, it manja downstairs.
The building ain't even together.
No.
I don't know if they're putting it together or taking it apart.
They're refurbing it, but you're right. It's like a weird, there's a big crane outside the window, but who knew we had grits?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. I just threw it out there, and they delivered. And I was like, wow.
It's amazing, Are they any good by your standards, the grits?
You know what? They don't have grits on the West Coast, and I'm from the South. So sometimes you just give them to me.
Whatever Atlanta? You can get, yeah.
Yeah, I grew up from Athens, and then I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia.
I grew up on grits. I was born in the South. I've moved around a little bit, so we lived in the South for a while. But, yeah, man.
I love grits.
That was a staple of breakfast. Now, I would have them with my mom. I'd always put cheese and garlic in them, too, to give them a little kick.
Oh, wow.
But butter and salt and pepper work, too.
Yeah, butter, salt and pepper. Sometimes Ritz cracker when I was in preschool.
Yeah.
And then you work your way up to fish.
Fish?
Shrimp, yeah.
Never heard that.
Shrimp and grits, yeah.
Fish and grits? You never heard of fish?
No, I heard of shrimp and grits, yeah.
But not fish and grits?
No.
Yeah, because you catch, well, you know, this is Georgia, you catch the fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You catch the fish out of the lake or the river.
Right.
Catfish, brim, crappy.
Well, I guess it makes
sense. Oh, you said it. Crappy. That's how you pronounce it in the South. Yep.
What do y'all call it?
When I lived in the Midwest, it was called crappie. But I lived in South Carolina. It was always, we're going crappie fishing.
Yep.
So, and they're good eating too.
My mother was a Southern cook, so she was, you know, born, you know, the family came from down south, but we lived in New York, so we were always having, like, you know, dumplings and you know, grits and all that stuff. So I grew up on that. But most people think it's like farina. Like, it's the consistency of, you know, like, right? Like, it's that same sort of thing. But it's really good.
Why do they not have it in L.A.?
I don't know, man.
That's
the crazy part.
Is it corn-based?
It is corn-based. But I think, you know, once you get to L.A., the food almost matched the drug.
Does it? It pairs.
So yeah, it's like what goes good
with drugs,
with marijuana, and what go good with cocaine. You got your healthy base meal for flushing the system out.
Yeah,
right.
And then you got the lady on the street with the bacon wrapped hot dogs when you leave the club.
Yeah. And so people know what pairs with the different things.
Yeah, I mean, I remember my first Thanksgiving. I was at a table and these girls was talking about like how, if you use purple lettuce instead of green lettuce, it just gets the stuff out your system a little bit quicker.
Wow.
And I never heard anything like that before.
It's you never see Martha Stewart talk about that stuff, you know, about how to cleanse your system before like a job interview or something.
But it's an amazing, you know, what they call it, welcome to the city, like a culture shock. You know?
Yeah. Are you in LA now, or?
Yeah, I've been in LA now for 10 years.
Yeah. So you're born in Athens, moved to Atlanta,
raised in Atlanta. Now I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay,
I'm in the desert.
So I'm familiar with you from, I was telling you off air, the Eric Andre show.
Yes,
which I loved. And you know, if you've watched that show, I always had a question, like, was there ever any idea that was turned down on that show? They just, always went for it.
You got budget problems with any show.
Oh, is that it? Okay, yeah.
We can't land a helicopter into a building. But yeah. We could throw you into the building without the helicopter.
You had to adapt.
Yeah, you had to adapt. And some things we just didn't know. When I did, I just didn't know what I was getting into. Like, we raided a tea party one time.
Wow.
Yeah, they gave us these, like, KKK masks, and then they threw us in. They were just like, go now. And it was like an operation.
Yeah,
like,
we were
cops. And then they called the real cops, and then we had to get in the car and leave.
Yeah.
As the cops were coming, you know.
So, yeah, it's running and gunning.
It's running and gunning, and it's high stakes while it's going on.
Yeah.
It's like you don't even have time to think.
You ever get your ass kicked doing something or come close?
No, not me personally, but I'm pretty sure, like, Eric got close plenty of times.
He seems basically fearless.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's his thing.
Yeah.
But it's still another part of him that's like a mastermind.
Yeah.
That's quiet and like coming up with these things. So it's timed. Everything is like timed.
I also saw something in your list here, and I have to ask if it was ever made. We've had Andy Dick on the show a couple times. There was a show or movie called Everyone Has an Andy Dick Story.
That movie was made, and I seen it, and it was funny. And,
are you in it?
I tell a story. Yeah, I'm in it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a docu-style.
Okay.
Movie. And I remember I was with my mom, and we was in the car, and we pulled up to a light, and Andy Dick stumbles across the street at the intersection.
Of course.
And I was like, oh, snap. There go Andy Dick.
Yeah.
And then my mom was like, you know him? And I was like, nah. Because I didn't even want to explain who he was.
Right. Because we have our stories here. He was, you know, he's with us, and he's, I always thought he was very funny, but he smelled, and he was,
I had to go home and change my shirt because he put his arm around me and his armpit laid on my shoulder.
Yeah.
I smelled Andy Dick for the rest of the day until I could go home and change.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good marketing campaign. Yeah. That's what I call a good marketing campaign. You don't know if he was pranked or not. That could have been part of it.
It could have been part of it. And there was a story for a while where he was actually living in basically
The garage.
The shed.
The shed.
Yeah, yeah, it's like almost if he got a, that's in the movie. Like, I don't know if he got this shed from Home Depot or something.
Yeah.
Or he was getting a divorce or whatever, but he put the shed in the yard and just lived in the shed.
I really want to see this movie now. We have the trailer running in the studio, and there's just a ton of comedians and actors who have had
Jimmy Pardo was up, with them. Right?
Over the years, I saw Dana Gould and Kate Flannery, who's from Philadelphia and a friend of the show. She's in it. So this looks fascinating. Where can you find it? You know?
I don't know. That remains the secret. And I think that's what's important is like to actually go out and find this film. Because look how far back they go. They go back. Man, that guy was insane.
Yeah,
was he on news radio?
He was on news radio, but the first time I saw him was on the Ben Stiller show. Going all the way back, he was one of the cast members. But I just thought that was wild because we had a whole series of stories and that you appeared in this. So, but you would not cop to it in front of your mother that you
No, I didn't. You know what I mean? Because you hear the stories and you know how it goes deeper and deeper. Like, yeah. I didn't even like blow my horn or wave or anything. I just focused on where we were going. Don't come to the car at all. You know,
it's somebody who like yourself works in, you know, in all these different mediums and getting into television and doing comedy and all that stuff. Life in L.A., is it just constantly going to auditions and gigs and blah, 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 this and that, bouncing around all over the place? That's the way it kind
of
seems.
Yeah, I think it's like that for a lot of people. My life is a little more chill. I live the life of like a suburban housewife.
You're like a suburban housewife.
Yeah, I keep to myself. I walk the dog. I don't do the audition thing because it does something to me. Like, it rubs me the wrong way to have to go in a room and like try to prove myself.
I believe it.
Well, somebody.
Let me ask you, because I went on your site and you have a whole bunch of your photos, you know, your headshots for dramatic acting, and yours actually look good. But anytime we're called on to take pictures, promotional pictures with a show, we freaking hate it. Or at least we Preston and I in particular, because we don't look good and nothing, no shots. It's never flattering. But I mean, is that part of the process you don't like, the headshots?
Yeah, like if you notice, like now, like I'm a more fully developed artist.
Yeah.
So that is my comedy headshot. I'm not smiling on it.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Yeah, that's like how I am. I'm not gonna like smile. Like a lot of people have this thing of when they take pictures, like, please like me.
Yeah.
But no, I'm an adult. I don't really care if you like me or not. You know what I mean?
But you have a couple of shots. You gave a shot where you're like kind of like there's a couple of different positions and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, are you cool when that's happening, or is the photographer suggesting? Because it's such a weird process.
Yeah, no, I just really just move around, and whatever they get,
right.
I find the magic in that, but I keep it as natural as possible.
Yeah.
Going back to the audition thing, or in the past, I did voiceover work, and I would go to a casting agency. And every once in a while, they'd ask me to come in and audition for an on-camera commercial thing, which I didn't want to do. I just did it anyway because I wanted to keep them calling me back for voice roles. And on those few occasions to audition in front of a panel, I felt it was like a piece of meat or something. You know what I mean? And it was just like, A, I wasn't confident in what I was doing, and then B, having to stand in front of people who are giving you next to nothing as far as what they want, and
exactly.
You're just supposed to react to whatever is in your mind. I can understand why you'd be like, I don't want to do this.
It's like a bad Tinder date. You giving it your all, and they just answer questions like, yep. Yo, talking about like, man, how's your day today? It's okay.
Yeah.
So what you got planned for this evening? Nothing. Okay. Well, thank you. Nice meeting you.
Right.
And I'm leaving.
Swipe left.
Yeah. And now you got to go to your car and just wonder the decisions you made in life to even get you here.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got to alleviate that. Because that what makes artists do crazy stuff later on.
Yeah.
The ones who don't have no success, they do that for 10, 20 years.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm tired of all the YouTube short, or you got an accent, or you're too dark for this role. So I'm like, man, I got to create the thing myself and continue to be like funny and find my lane, and then everything.
It makes you a writer. It makes you a creator of the content.
Yeah, and if you like really like block out the rest of that stuff, your peace of mind and your life fulfillment, which is important to me, happens.
Well, you look at, like, I know you toured with Chappelle, and I mean, there's a guy, like, I watching him in Star is Born, you know, he's really good. Yeah. I mean, you know, so he's got so much going on. Did you glean anything from him? Did he give you any advice? I mean, you were, you know, a working comedian at the time. But...
Yeah, I mean, just watching somebody like that as your senior or OG, what we call it, is fascinating.
Yeah.
For both of us to go and experience a day in Alaska, and then we both talk about it on stage.
Yeah.
And the 3 minutes I had, he had like 15.
Wow.
You know, and just showing you that's a different type of skill level to the game. And then the amount of people that came out, and we was in the ice hockey rink.
Were you?
Yeah, it was cold. It was in like
where
I
was
think
this?
Anchorage.
Really?
Yeah. And it was cold, man. And mm-hmm. and like he came and delivered, you know. So yeah, it's a lot to learn sometimes just by watching.
And but being smart to notice or to know on, from your position to say, I'm going to take this lesson and help it make me better, because you see him, and there's a few. We had Brian Regan on yesterday, and these are guys that just hit that sweet spot. They get the material, and they get it so it makes sense, and they do it with an economy, a language.
Yeah.
Chappelle, you just think like, and your stuff is great as well, you know, where it's just like, it's just coming. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, if I had to give your audience or the people something that I learned, was you cannot beat a seasoned person,
right,
a master at their craft.
Yeah.
Like, if I wrote 10 hours a day, I still wouldn't be as good as him because of the time that he puts into the game.
Right.
He's a hyper-intelligent person also. And the same with Brian Regan and these guys. They went through every stage that they need to become the butterfly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes now, you know, as younger performers, we try to become the butterfly without going through the pain of learning even how to build a cocoon.
So is the knowledge that you should have is don't try to force it, let it come naturally.
Let it come. Yeah. It's going to come if you're with it, you know what I mean?
Right, so, right.
Real quick, how old are you, by the way?
18 to 25.
18 to 25.
So, all right, so you're in that demographic. And then at what point, you said you've been in L.A. for 10 years?
10 years, yeah.
All right, and so what brought you out there? Was it comedy or was it acting or?
Comedy.
Straight up comedy.
I was doing the clubs in Atlanta, and I reached that ceiling. Mm-hmm. And they was like, oh, you got to, all the features come from, I was hosting, and they was like, all the features come from L.A. or New York.
Yeah.
And why'd you go L.A. and not New York?
I visited both places, and in New York, I saw an old lady walk down the street, and she was struggling. I like to see the city, like, kicked her ass.
Yeah.
And then I went to L.A., and I seen a homeless dude laying on the street. He had the most beautiful red hair. The way the sun hit it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this the worst it can get?
Yeah,
I should be here.
That's yes. No, it's true. Even the homeless people are tan and have beautiful. It's just, it's
look,
beautiful.
Look, I slept in my car a while, and I was like a block from where I seen that homeless man. So, yeah.
So when you were doing that, so how were you taking care of, like, showering and all that sort of stuff?
Did I had a friend, a female friend who was also a comic, who me and a few other, you know, my other homeboy, we were cool, so we would just go to her place and shower.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure if it was like a place. If you belonged to a gym or something like that.
Oh, no. Some people do gyms. Some people like stay on Venice near the ocean.
That's commitment, though. I mean, that is absolute commitment to, you were talking about your life fulfillment. So.
Well, yeah, that. And I mean, it was part of my journey, because I had to, during that time, I had to learn something. Once I learned it, I was out.
All right, what's more comfortable to sleep in, the back seat or the front seat?
I had a Prelude, so the front seat.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. You can't sleep in the back seat of a Prelude.
It's wild what you will do when you're going for something.
Yep.
You know, and that's we were talking. So Preston watched the movie The Dirt about Motley Crue, the early days of the band. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know,
a couple of those guys are living on the street for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, if a lot of times that's. And we've talked about this countless times on the show about the not having a safety net. I've got to do this.
I have to make this work. I looked at like myself, like my instinct told me to do this comedy thing.
Yeah,
it was like it was gut. You could call it the universe, God.
Yeah,
like it would take you to the promised land. So I'm on that journey, and I've learned a lot about man, about self,
right?
You know what I mean, and about like having the faith and stepping out just through doing this.
It's a good lesson to learn.
Is anybody on this journey with you? You single or are you in a relationship?
I'm in a relationship now. You know what I mean? I have a girlfriend. I'm actually gonna see her when I leave here,
Really?
Yeah.
Well, leave Philly or leave the studio?
Leave Philly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you ever change your girlfriend out on tour?
She's in Tel Aviv? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it Gal Gadot?
No.
No? Okay.
God damn, that'd be awesome.
That'd be pretty great.
Yeah, I know. It would be crazy. Mm-hmm.
Did you go to the Maldives with your girlfriend?
Yep.
I was looking at your Instagram stories. The Maldives, for people who don't know, is in the middle of the Indian Ocean. It's halfway around the world, or really, like, most of the way around the world. And it was a 24-hour flight getting there?
Yeah, 24 hours. You got a regular plane, you got a propeller plane, and then you got a boat ride.
Dude.
I'm like, y'all moving us like kilos.
Did you stay out in the middle of the water in, like, a bungalow?
Man, I had the bungalow in the water, you know what I mean? Shout out to my girl, Alma Harrell. That was my birthday gift, you know?
Well, what does she do for a living?
She's a director.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So my life is different. I don't live a comedian's life, kind of, you know?
Yeah. Look at you.
So
that's pretty awesome.
I mean, it's interesting, you know? It's interesting.
Do you miss the front seat of your Prelude at all?
No, we're in a different situation now. We're in a different situation.
So you've done a few movies, and did a film with Shia LaBeouf?
Yep. I did a film with Shia. My girl directed it. Lucas Hedges is in it, Noah Jupe, and we took it to Sundance, and it sold to Amazon. And it's going to have a theatrical release toward the end of the year.
But it's not Peter Butter Falcon, is it?
No, it's Honey Boy.
Okay. He's in another one that we've talked about not that long ago called Peanut Butter Falcon.
We think he is a really great actor. Now, also, like, we see some of the crazy things, you know, that the media is going to show us. Do you have any insight as to who he's like? You know what I mean?
Is he a good dude? Is he a little crazy? Is that what makes him so good?
The film is about a slightly story about him and his father's relationship.
Really?
And his dad was an addict, an alcohol and heroin addict.
In the movie or Shia's own father?
Both.
Yeah,
But his dad had to look after him while he was a child actor.
Okay.
So that explains, you know, it's going to explain a little bit of, like, the PS. I mean, put it PTSD that he has.
All right.
So the stuff that you see is a result of some of those, those things. You know, that's the only way I can explain it in actor terms.
What's your character in the movie?
I play young Shia's roommate in rehab.
I thought you were going to say young Shia. And I go, how did they pull that one off?
Man,
that
doesn't make sense. Man, that's talent. If I can play young Shia as an actor,
oh my God.
Hebrew isn't that good. You know?
It was seamless.
Yeah. But yeah, I play his roommate in rehab.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And there was a horror movie that I never heard of called Cuso.
Cuso.
Yeah, and I was reading some wild things about it. It's like a collection of stories?
It's like a collection of stories, but it's like on that horror gore. That's Flying Lotus mindset. So if you take Eric, what you see with Eric Andre, and then have a bad LSD trip, that will be like Flying Lotus's film. You know what I mean?
I'll have to look for that. Yeah. I was looking at some of the pictures and the captures of it. I'm like, this looks pretty wild.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It's like, I mean, it's feces and all types of stuff.
You had me at feces.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So, Byron, you haven't played Philly before. You ever visited the city at all before?
No, this is my first time.
Is there anything you got on your list that you want to do while you're here? Or is your time all taken up?
My time is not taken up yet. Okay. Some say I should at least go up the steps that Rocky went up.
Yeah. It's a standard.
I definitely did the Philly cheesesteak thing.
Oh, you did already?
Yeah, and I'm still taking, like, recommendations from good places. But that's the first thing I did when I landed.
Like, get a cheesesteak?
Yeah, I walked to, the closest place. It was there you go. A Jams and a Iska Bibbles or something like that.
Iska Bibbles.
Yeah.
And then I had to choose. I'm in the middle of the intersection. And cars are like, hey, get out of the street. And I'm on my phone just reading articles.
Yeah.
But I ended up going to Iska Bibbles first. The gym line was long.
There's a reason they're really good. So
yeah.
I prefer gyms, but, you know, there's a few places we can bring you up to speed on if you need to know.
Okay, yeah. And I was like, just walking. I'm like, man, this place isn't like, there's a lot of cobblestone streets in the area I'm in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this isn't rim friendly. Exactly. Rambling your cars. Yeah. Every car had like a ticket on it as if it was a flyer to a show.
Yeah.
It's like the courts are like, come to court next Tuesday.
Well, they used to have a show here, a reality show here called, was it Parking Wars?
Yeah.
And it was about the parking authority, they're towing people's asses right and left.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotten a little bit better now that they've gotten this. We have an app on your phone. And when you go in a park, you can just, you know, instead of popping quarters in, it makes it a little bit easier. But, for a while, it was a freaking nightmare.
Yeah, I'm like, these tickets must be cheap here. In L.A., it's $100 a
Is it?
Starting at 100. Yeah.
Wow. So a lot of times people just get the ticket instead of going into a parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah, just pay for your parking ticket instead of getting the spot.
Oh, well, okay, that makes sense. No, you can't do that in LA.
Not for $100.
No.
Yeah.
No, my car was on the truck one time. It cost $300 just for him to be like, I was like, man, this is crazy. So, and I was like, man, it's a lot of like red brick here. Like whoever sold red bricks back in the day was the man.
Made a mint, yeah.
There's a lot of like those red, old school red bricks.
Are you a history dude at all? I mean, because this is everything that you find here is whatever it is, it's usually the first in the country. So.
You can feel it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can feel. I'm like, man, I should have on like some black shoes with the gold buckle on the front. And like long socks.
Fit right at home, yeah.
Like you could feel the history of this. I'm not a buff, but I know a little bit about it. Yeah. Or enough about it.
Yeah.
There's plenty to take a look at. So we hope we'll get a good taste of the city while you're here.
Yeah, I'm going to walk around and come check some stuff out.
All right. Byron, by the way, is going to be performing at Punchline. There's one show at 8 o'clock tonight, and then tomorrow, 7:30, and two shows on Saturday, 7:30 and 9:45. So make sure you go check them out. So thanks for stopping by.
That's right, man. Come out. Have an experience.
It's going
to
be great.
Experience what I'm bringing to you.
Tickets available at punchlinephilly.com. Byron Bowers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
it. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Kathy Romano hosts the 12th annual Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids, Friday, May 3rd at True Beauty Concepts in Southampton, PA.
Hey, everyone, get your ponytails ready for the chopping block. We're asking you to cut your hair for a great cause, Wigs for Kids. Their mission, helping children look themselves and live their lives. You'll need at least 12 inches of hair to donate, and with what's left, the skilled stylists from three amazing hair salons, Gravity, David Arnold, and Tier, will cut and style your new do. Go to PrestonandSteve.com for guidelines and to make a donation appointment.
Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids.
Refreshments provided by Metro Beverage Philadelphia and Panera Bread.
93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Kathy wanted to give some service to the Wigs for Kids event coming up, Kathy's Cuts.
Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids, is taking place on May 3rd at True Beauty Concepts in Southampton. We only have, I think, 20 spots that are left open, and they're the earlier appointments. So 6:30, 7:30, I think there's one left for 8:30, but 9:30 and 10:30 all sold out. So if you did want to get in on this, I'm still getting a lot of emails, people asking for details. Everything's up on PrestonandSteve.com. We'll be at True Beauty Concepts on May 3rd with a number of hair salons that are taking part. Gravity, David Arnold, and Tier Hair Salon, they'll be out there. And all these, they're skilled stylists, so you're going to get a new haircut. We'll have a goodie bag from True Beauty. There'll be breakfast from Panera and Metro Beverage. And then all of the ponytails, we'll cut them. We'll ship them off to Wigs for Kids, and you'll make a donation that way.
That's cool. Awesome.
Hey, and a reminder, too, we made just a save the date. We're not getting people signed up for this, but just make note of this, that our next presidency blood drive is going to be Saturday, June 15th. That means if you want to donate before, you need to either do it today or tomorrow. That's the deadline. So sorry we're so last minute on this, but we had some scheduling things we had to work out. So once again, Saturday, June 15th, the Presidency Blood Drive. Just make note of that, and then we'll give you details down the road on how you sign up and what you need to do. And we want to make this the biggest one in the country because we almost did last year.
I think we were 11, 12 pints shy of the biggest one in the country.
It was pretty damn close, yeah.
That's pretty freaking crazy.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Drexel's LeBeau Online MBA. Visit drexel.edu/online-MBA. In Ohio, listen to this, man. A video from a gathering at Impact City Church is drawing criticism. The video posted on social media shows youth spitting on, hitting, and using a knife to cut Associate Pastor Jadeus Dempsey. In an apology video posted to the church's Facebook page, lead pastor Justin Ross said that this happened at one of the church's after-school hangouts on Monday. Students have a chance to hang out with their friends and get some food.
And beat up the pastors?
Well, as part of the hangout, Ross said they take 5 minutes in to share the message of the gospel. Dempsey was sharing a message about Easter and the crucifixion of Jesus. Dempsey invited students to spit in his face with no backlash.
Huh.
And several students took part.
Yeah.
Dempsey then invited students to slap him, which some did.
Then he invited students to cut him with no punishment for any of it.
And the reasoning was?
One of the students used a steak knife provided by the associate pastor to cut Dempsey on his back. And one parent whose son is in the video said she got a call from a friend warning her, saying the guy who is in the video turns around and grabs the knife and then he hands it right to my son, Mandy said. She and her husband, Josh, rushed to the church. They picked up their son. She said he was upset. He thought he was in trouble. When I explained to him that he's not upset, I'm not upset with you. I just want you to know that the things that happen here are not okay.
Now, who wants to shoot me?
Yeah, so here's what Ross had to say.
Yeah, please.
He's the lead pastor. He said, we exist to create an environment that is safe and predictable for students to come, connect with their friends, and grow closer to God. Today, we failed at creating that safe, predictable environment.
This was a bad call.
And we want to do better. Ross said in the apology video, the reactions by people who are disgusted, hurt, or confused by what happened are appropriate. Dempsey said that this was all his idea and no one else knew what he had planned.
Dude, you are so proactive and we really support that, but this was a bad call.
Ross said Dempsey used the illustration to share a message of Jesus's love and to share in some of the pain that Jesus went through.
All right, this line over here is for those who want to piss on me. This line's kicking me in the balls.
Yeah.
Still working on the poop on me line.
Oh, yep, geez. Yep. So, yeah, that's a bit much.
To me, in my mind, there's a little bit of a fetishism in this.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
No.
All right, let's move on. A woman who wanted chocolate ice cream had a meltdown after employees at a St. Louis restaurant told her they only had vanilla last month. So,
vanilla?
Well, she spit on the workers and took out a baseball bat and smashed all the windows.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not.
Wow.
She was at rallies after she was told they had run out of chocolate. She broke out the windows of the restaurant. It was about 2:25 in the morning, so I'm guessing maybe there might have been some booze involved in this. Yeah. She apparently got in a vehicle and left. Authorities are still looking for her. They have no idea who she was. Why she freaked out so bad.
I was in the rural parts of Texas, and I went into a place. I think I mentioned this story on the air time, and I asked, can I have chocolate ice? We don't have chocolate. Well, we got vanilla. Well, have you heard out there? They got a thing called chocolate.
Yeah.
One flavor.
Well, these guys ran out. Authorities arrested a woman accused of using her ex-boyfriend's prosthetic leg to beat him after a breakup.
So he got to kick his own ass, basically.
Yeah, Michelle Jackson was taken into custody Wednesday morning and booked with aggravated battery. She's accused of attacking her former boyfriend, a 59-year-old man, with whom she had had an on-and-off relationship for about 6 years. Well, the couple went to Jackson's home. The pair began drinking gin. And at some point, the man told Jackson he wanted to end their relationship and date another woman. The man told investigators he went to sleep.
What'd you say?
Uninjured in a bedroom of Jackson's home at about 11 p.m. But when the man was roused around 1 a.m. by one of Jackson's frantic relatives, he had a large gash on his head and was covered in blood.
Oh my God.
The man also had a swollen finger on his right hand. I don't know what she did to the finger. Jackson later admitted to the relative that she, quote, flipped. And took her former boyfriend's prosthetic leg and beat him with it.
What a life. What a freaking life.
Jackson also told the relative,
I want to date around,
that she stabbed the man, though he did not have any stab wounds. Jackson left the residence before deputies arrived and thought that she had killed her ex, according to telephone calls that she made to her relative.
You listen to me. I'm the best you're ever going to get.
And a friend. All right,
you just know what's going on. He probably at sometime during the night woke up a little bit and saw the red glow of her cigarette and then went back to sleep.
Yep.
And then, you know, she beat him with his own leg.
All right. We started with a church story. We'll end with one.
Please.
Detroit area Roman Catholics have one more dining option during Lent than most of their followers of the faith. The culinary appeal of that item, however, is up for debate. A longstanding permission allows Catholics in Detroit to eat muskrat on
muskrat.
Days, yes, on days of abstinence, including Fridays of Lent.
Wow.
According to the Archdiocese, the custom dates to the region's missionary history in the 1700s and is especially prevalent in communities along the Detroit River.
Do we have muskrat love in the...
I don't know.
Missionary priests realized that food was especially scarce in the region by the time Lent came around and did not want to burden Catholics unreasonably by denying them one of the few readily available sources of nutrition, however unappetizing to folks it might be.
Is that a classic biblical meal, muskrat?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it was just in this area. The Reverend Tim LeBeau grew up in the area of Michigan where the practice has long been a tradition, recalls sitting down for muskrat dinners with his grandfather. He said, I don't know if I enjoy more eating the muskrat or watching people try for the first time because it doesn't look in any way appetizing.
No, Preston, it's loaves of bread, fishes, and muskrat.
LeBeau said some people describe it as tasting like duck, but he disagrees. He said, I think muskrat tastes like muskrat, and I don't think I can compare it to anything else. LeBeau said he enjoys the taste of the furry rodent despite its appearance. There was a place in New Jersey that specializes.
Delaware.
Is it Delaware?
Yeah, because I'm looking at this thing in our little audio system here. It says muskrat restaurant in Delaware.
Yeah, I remember I talked about that, and they... Dude, they make them with their heads still on, and their teeth sticking out, and everything. They're really nasty looking. So.
I don't want to eat, goddammit.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Let's take a break. Let's come back in a moment. And you know what? Let me give away some passes for our sorority party. I'll give away three of them right now if you're at least 21 years of age. If you're available to join us a week from tonight at Parks Casino, we're headed to the Beer Garden. It's Sisters and Suds. We got all kinds of stuff, including crafts and pins. Let's have three ladies calling out, 215-263-WMMR. You and a guest, female only, will be able to join us, and we'll be right back.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today's lesson question, if you answer it correctly, we'll get you a pair of tickets to join Casey and Nick in a suite for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race, Dover International Speedway, and that's on May 5th. Question I have for you this morning, what natural remedy works well on the battlefield? 215-263-WMMR. Had been listening closely to get this one. What natural remedy works well on the battlefield? If you were listening... You think you know that answer? You should call him right now because you just might win. 215-263-WMMR. While you are calling in, we shall do this.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. By the way, join Casey Boy and the MM Army this Saturday at French Creek Outfitters for the Fishing Virgins event.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's from noon to 2. You can win prizes like a fishing rod, fishing licenses, concert tickets, and more. So swing by there Saturday, French Creek Outfitters, and you can go to WMMR events page for details. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Dina Lohan is now back with the online boyfriend, Jesse Nadler, a man she has actually never met in person. Lohan says the key to the success of their relationship has been making sure to not make time for each other. Robert Kraft's legal team scoring a temporary victory, keeping footage of the naked Kraft getting a handy at a Florida day spa from being released to the media. The judge overseeing the case issued a statement dismissing the footage, saying, quote, have you ever seen pasta being made? Same thing. And finally, Blac Chyna's landlord suing her for skipping out on her lease 5 months early and not paying a dime. Blac Chyna reportedly told the court that her job makes it necessary for her to travel. But when asked what her job is, she told the court, quote, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty, to the phones we go. Let's see if we can answer this. What natural remedy works well on the battlefield? And if you were listening, you might know the answer. I am going to go to Ethan for that. Ethan, are you there?
Yep.
All right, Ethan, tell me what natural remedy works well on the battlefield.
Tart cherry juice.
Yes. Tart cherry juice is correct. So, Ethan, hang on. And we're going to give you a pair of tickets. Join Casey and Nick in the suite for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race at Dover International Speedway, May 5th. Celebrate Dover International Speedway's 50th anniversary during race weekend. Wow. May 3rd through the 5th, and for information tickets, visit DoverSpeedway.com. And Casey, I got an email from a friend of ours over at Autism Speaks.
Yes.
That I believe on the 4th, you can go walk the track.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And a lot of people come out for this, and there's a driver. You know what? I've got the information.
I think Clint Bauer was the driver.
Is that who it is?
Clint Howard.
No, not Clint Howard. Oh. Yeah, we got this from Joe Principe over at...
Principe.
I'm sorry, Principe. Over at Autism Delaware. And, yes, it's Clint Bauer will be there walking the track as well, doing selfies and signing stuff and things like that.
That's a cool track to walk.
You have to register for the walk, and you get a free T-shirt as well. So it's a pretty cool thing, man. And that's around. There's a big golf outing and all kinds of things that happen around this autism space event that they have at Dover. So we're happy to help out in that. No question. All right. We're going to do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Brought to you by A.D. Moyer. A.D. Moyer Lumber is celebrating 80 years of supplying quality building materials and service. Four generations, one family, one commitment. Learn more at admoyer.com. Well, Dave Grohl and his mother, Virginia Hanlon Grohl, are going to give a talk together at the 2019 edition of Canadian Music Week, the Northern Nation's biggest music conference and festival. It's going to take place in Toronto next month. The 37th annual event takes place from May 6th to the 12th at various venues around the city. The Grohl's discussion will be held on May 10th as part of the conference's keynote speakers lineup, where mother and son will talk about the inspiration behind her book, From Cradle to Stage, her delightful meetings with music moms, and what to do when your child is a talented, charismatic prodigy. Q&A is going to follow afterwards, so that should be fun. Hollywood Vampires, the supergroup, with Aerosmith's Joe Perry, Alice Cooper, and actor Johnny Depp,
really rock,
has just released a lyric video for Who's Laughing Now, the lead single from the second album from these guys called Rise, which is due out on June 21st. Rolling Stone reported, in addition to 13 original cuts, Depp fronts their rendition of David Bowie's Heroes. Perry sings Johnny Thunder's You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory. And they also cover Jim Carroll Band's People Who Died. The set also includes guest Jeff Beck and John Waters.
John Waters?
Yeah.
People who did.
These are people who died?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are people who did.
Jeff Beck and John Waters will be on the track called Welcome to Bushwhackers. Rise was produced by Alice Cooper's collaborator and bandmate Tommy Henriksen. So... yeah, that continues on. Led Zeppelin has uploaded the first episode of the ongoing YouTube series titled Led Zeppelin History. The first offering doesn't amount to much, featuring unsynced concert footage with quotes from the band appearing across the screen over the commercial audio of Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. On the band's official YouTube page, the description for the clip reads, "This is the episode one of Led Zeppelin History, the first in a series of short stories celebrating what happened 50 years ago when they entered Olympic Studios to record the debut album."
At the end of every episode?
Sha-la-la-la. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's fitting. Mm-hmm. Bruce Springsteen will appear on May 5th at LA's Raleigh Studios to kick off Netflix's FYC Emmy campaign.
If I see him,
yeah,
I'm going to kick his ass.
Variety reports the boss will be on hand to take part in a chat revolved around his Netflix exclusive Springsteen on Broadway, with other events running through June 9th, including Martin Scorsese talking about his upcoming film The Irishman, and Oprah Winfrey and Ava DuVernay discussing their upcoming limited event series When They See Us, which is based on New York City's infamous Central Park 5 case. And then one last story. Brian May was on hand Tuesday in Montrose, Switzerland to unveil a new bust of Freddie Mercury outside the city's Queen Studio Experience exhibition.
Hmm.
The exhibition is housed in Mountain Studios, which Queen owned between 1979 and 1993.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. And where the band recorded all or part of their classic albums, Jazz, Hot Space, Kind of Magic, The Miracle, Innuendo, and Made in Heaven. So they revealed this bust of him that's going to remain.
Okay, we're looking at it.
Yeah. Those sculpture things are a tough call.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a bad angle better, because the top lip looks a little funky. But,
yeah. Who does that really look like?
Some kind of astronaut.
Yeah. Like some kind of half-assed astronaut.
With bad teeth?
Yeah.
I guess you'd have to to get an idea of this, I'd have to see a profile.
Yeah.
And that's going to let you know if they got the Freddie Mercury teeth and everything in there or not. But anyhow, it's in honor of the great Freddie Mercury. So that's cool. And there you go. That's what I have for you in music news. We're going to take another break. Did you put this here for a reason?
Mm-hmm.
I have beer to give away.
Ooh!
I'll take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR and give you a case of Yards Pink, which is now available year-round. Pink, it was originally just a limited offer, but now they got it year-round. Pink is a sparkling, refreshing, dry and tart berry ale brewed with cherries and raspberries. So
sounds wonderful.
Yeah, tart cherries.
It's going to cure you on the battlefield.
Yeah. We'll take the night
caller. Give me some beer.
215-263-WMMR. Find Yards Pink at Cinder Bar in Clarsboro, New Jersey.
That's my place.
Call right now. We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack. The Revivalists. You got some change.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I was just handed this. I get these little info sheets about things that are coming up to mention on WMMR.com and PrestonSteve.com. And I have a picture of Sylvester Stallone dressed up to look like Robert Smith of The Cure.
Yeah, I know what that's about.
And it was when we went through that list of top Sylvester Stallone movies.
Yeah.
My God, that was funny. So it's a new Daily Rush video, and I've not seen it yet. It says, Preston and Steve run down their favorite Sylvester Stallone movies and their favorite songs from The Cure. Somehow or another.
It was a crossover.
Somehow or another, Rocky or Sly ended up as...
Easy, you're The Cure.
Lead singer of The Cure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
you're the disease, and I'm Robert Smith of The Cure.
Yep, and you can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. There's another new one up, too, which is it's labeled Tornado, Tornado, Tornado. Everyone recounts their tornado warning stories and when its wife's out.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah so go ahead, Nick.
No, well, Casey said something and then nobody, including Casey, could figure out what he had said. And then it dawned on you what you had actually said, which was not lights out, but wife's out.
Oh.
Because you were talking about...
Well, it confused Preston.
Confused everybody.
Because he didn't hear... My wife's went off. He said, lights went off.
Right.
He heard lights went off.
Right.
But then I said something else that made no sense if my lights had gone off.
Right. Yes.
Because my power or whatever.
And you meant that the alert on your wife's phone went off. Okay. Yeah. Now I remember.
And then I said at my house, it's wife's out at 11 o'clock.
Yes. But when you questioned me, I was like, wait a second. I don't
know.
I don't remember saying that. I'm not sure.
Let me ask Karen.
Yeah, let me ask Karen.
Then that Karen thing happened.
Thing happened earlier today. I totally misunderstood what Casey was saying. And listen, it happens. And we're all still in love with each other.
We're all still here.
Yep. So those are available. And by the way, brought to you by our friends at Punchline Philly Comedy Club, Restaurant, and Bar. So new videos for you to check out. Speaking of Punchline, thank you to Byron Bowers, who was here. Byron's a really nice guy, and he will be performing at Punchline tonight at 8 o'clock and Friday and Saturday, 7:30, 9:45. You can go to punchlinephilly.com to get those tickets. So he was our sole guest today, so I thank him for being here for that. Pierre Robert is in attendance. Hey, man.
Why, good day.
How are you?
Good. How'd your thing go?
It went well, but with unfortunate results. So I went to... see if I was allergic. I've had an allergy to ibuprofen or what are called NSAIDs, which means ibuprofen and aspirin and these things. I can't take them.
Is ibuprofen, is that Advil or is that Tylenol?
It's Advil.
We already have this discussion.
Tylenol.
No, just adorable. That's all.
Acetaminophen is...
I don't know which one is effing which. One of them, I like Advil better for me.
Because
I can drink on Advil.
You called it ibuprofen.
What the... What is it? Ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen.
Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
So
I'm no doctor. I play one on the radio. Damn it.
So that's part of the reason too. Is if you have alcohol, you can't take Tylenol. It's the only thing that I can take for pain relief. So I wanted to be able to take ibuprofen, but so I went and I get this 5-hour long test done, and there's a half hour left. They're giving me these dosages throughout the day, and there's only 30 minutes left, and I'm in the clear. And sure enough, all these bumps and things start showing up all over. My face turns red and everything. And they're like, yep, all right, you're allergic. And then they give me this injection to counteract it and everything. So I'm still allergic to it. It sucks.
Why can't you have alcohol with Tylenol? I don't take Tylenol, so I don't know.
Bad for your liver.
It filters through your liver.
For your liver, yeah.
It can really mess you up.
Yep. So,
could kill you.
And you know what's funny is every time that we may have mentioned something like that in passing, you'll see a text message or get an email that says, I never knew that. I've been drinking booze with Tylenol my whole life. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Stop doing that.
Stop
really
it.
Bad.
It's very bad for you. So,
however, drink all you want and take some Advil.
There you go, man.
There you go.
Fire it up.
That was not a good piece of advice.
No.
Really, don't do that. Don't do that.
How much you been drinking lately?
Quart.
A quart.
Have a quart every morning.
Every morning.
Bartender, a quart of alcohol, please.
Quart of alcohol on my cereal, on my granola. Any kind of alcohol. Just a quart.
Anything.
Quart.
Yeah.
All I want.
Put you know, pints are passe.
I don't do no damn liters.
Yeah.
It's no metric system, okay?
Right. What is your drink of choice? Like, do you like wine? Do you like
like a martini. With gin, up and dirty prior to a nice dinner, a glass of wine with dinner, and various beers after dinner.
And no martini and Rossi on the rocks. Say yes.
No,
a gin martini. Nice. Yeah. That's old school. Yes. Very good.
Yeah,
that's the way they're supposed to be.
And Rodney gave me this new Yeti Yanni thing. And I can have my coffee now shaken and not stirred.
Oh, I love James Bond.
I can put a little cream and a little sugar in my coffee canister
and
close it and shake it. It's perfect.
Oh, cool. Love that. I'm
very happy with that.
Very, very good. All right, why don't we requisition a letter from you, sir?
You got it.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
K, as in Special K. It's a cereal I put my quart on.
All right.
Your quart of booze.
We have a pair of tickets to the Jim Brewer Residency this Saturday at Soundwaves at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Jim's new home in Atlantic City, plus a room for the night and a $100 food voucher. You have to be at least 21 years of age to enter to win. Tickets for both Hard Rock shows this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com with more details to be announced very, very soon. Was I correct in my assessment that you will have Cage the Elephant passes for the Pierre Presents today?
Last pair today.
Oh! Okay, I had a feeling that you might hang on to some for today.
It is tomorrow. I will not be exchanging visits with you tomorrow from here, but I'll be at the club tomorrow.
You'll be on premises ready to rock and roll.
I will indeed. So we'll have one more pair of Cage the Elephant passes today. Also, we have two more chances for Fund U2, 11 a.m., 1 p.m. Workforce blocks that include The Struts and Shinedown and Pink Floyd. And that's in honor of Nick Mason coming to our town this weekend, and a conversation with Nick Mason as well.
That's awesome.
Of Pink Floyd, the drummer of that band.
Excellent.
Only original member. The only member who was there right from the beginning on every single thing they did in any incarnation of what was called Pink Floyd.
That's impressive. Cool. Let me thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve, the Impressive and Steve shows.
Ibupropion.
Ibupropion. The Impressive and Steve.
All right. So the sponsors of our show, Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve show. Also, Mealy's Furniture, just what you're looking for. And also by Univest, Live life.
The living and the loving of life.
Whatever you do, stay connected with Univest Bank. Tomorrow on the program, I mentioned Jim Brewer. Jim's going to be in our studio tomorrow morning. We will also have Colt Stevens. Who is that? Well, Colt Stevens drives a little vehicle called Bro-Dozer.
Bro-Dozer! Oh, my God.
And he will be in our studio. And we also have comedian Alonzo Bodden in the program.
Very nice.
To wrap up the week. So that's it. We're done. Rage on and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Karen, Build-A-Bear. Karen, Build-A-Bear. Shut up. I love you.
Next message.
I just wanted to say a big happy birthday to Bradley. You are the best son a dad could ever ask for. Happy birthday, bud. Make it a good one.
Next message.
If there's a line and you don't have your together by the time you get to the front, you're one of the worst kinds of human beings.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
WMMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.